Connection, live from New Hampshire.
Yes.
It's Saturday night.
Yes, it's Saturday night, live from New Hampshire, ladies and gentlemen. This is Free Talk Live. Welcome to the Saturday night edition of Free Talk Live.
In the studio so far, it's myself, the Reverend Captain Kickass, joining me tonight.
It's Riley.
And question
mark. You're
just
the Reverend tonight?
I mean, I only say the full thing on Sundays because so ridiculous.
Yes.
That, you know, on Sundays we tend to be a little less serious
than other
nights. And, you know, the kind of, you know, rest on the Sabbath or whatever that is, right?
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
It's not necessarily rest. We still take things to a level of, you know, freedom, peace, prosperity, all the things that we're about here at Free Talk Live.
Yeah, all those important things.
You know, but, like, we try and be a little lighter on Sundays, and so I get a little more animated and ridiculous on Sundays.
Well, if you take life too seriously, I mean, it's going to cause problems anyway. We can't just sit around taking life so seriously all the time, like if the apocalypse is coming and the world's going to end tomorrow. We just have to relax.
Well, I mean, speaking of apocalypse and the earth ending tomorrow, I was waiting for Peakless Mountaineer to be here. We're just going to touch on this, and then when he just said he's going to be late, so hopefully he's on his way.
Yeah, hopefully.
I just want to touch on this. Apparently, NATO fighter jets get green light to carry nukes as tension with Russia soars.
Ooh, this is a little crazy, Captain. Like, we're carrying nukes now?
Like,
I mean,
so part of me is like, first of all, I don't believe they weren't carrying nukes in the first place.
Yeah.
But let's just say they weren't. This would certainly be a significant development.
It would be. It's definitely sounding like an act of war. And we know that there are better ways to deal with life than going to an FCCing war.
Now, I do love making fun of the name of this plane. This is just a sub-headline here. The F-35A... Joint Strike Fighter makes it sound like they're dropping a bunch of marijuana on people.
Yeah.
Right? We're striking you with joints, man. How many joints can we drop on this, you know, brown country?
Hopefully enough to get him high, you know.
I swear, man, like, I just think the world would be a better place if everybody just partook and smoked a joint every now and again.
I did too. I think cannabis is a very beautiful plant. She's a very healing, connecting plant. And, you know, sometimes she just wakes people up if they're really wanting to pay attention to her.
Or even just like as a stress reliever, as a relaxant, you
know?
Of
course, dude.
Like an indica or something, like before you watch a movie or something. You know, just, I mean, I know very few people that doesn't, like, relax. Some people say, well, when I smoke marijuana, all it does is put me to sleep. Great.
Yeah, go to sleep.
You need it, right? Obviously, your body is going, man, I need this sleep right now, and marijuana is helping me, right? So, like, you're right. It has so many medicinal qualities from everything to, like, cancer treatment to a sleep aid, right, that kind of a thing. It has been demonized for so long.
It has. Like, and I look at cannabis, I guess, a little different than most people do. I look at it as like a spiritual tool. In other words, it's a tool to help you connect with yourself and deeper into your heart space and mind space and expand your creativity and expand who you are as a human being to realize that we're all connected as human beings, like the mycelium network of mushrooms and things like that.
Yeah, totally.
But we have to function as individuals because that's who we are.
That is a fact. I titled the show tonight, Shapeshift, Nukes, Currency, and Jobs. Hopefully we get to all of these topics. That's not just one topic. That's, you know, several topics.
Oh, yeah.
So we've talked about the nukes briefly. We can come back to that. I really want to get Peakless's opinion on that because he brought it in for the show prep. So we'll wait a little bit. I also have from the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, straight off of SEC.gov's website. On today's episode of As the Crypto World Turns, statement on Shapeshift AG. For those of you who follow cryptocurrency and have followed the show for some time, we often talk about things like Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies and exchanges and wallets
and
how to protect your wealth. And
Protecting our wealth is the most important thing we can do. But at the same time, how do we find this balance where we're not just protecting our wealth just for us, because we could lose it at any moment. We're protecting it for future generations to enjoy.
Well, and for me at least, hard goods, you know, gold, silver, that type of thing, and cryptocurrency are a method in which to protect your wealth.
Yes.
Not necessarily from other individuals, but from government specifically.
Absolutely. And that's why I value the idea of Bitcoin. Bitcoin is pseudo-anonymous. In other words, if we know your address, we can find out who's connected to that wallet.
Right.
And that's a little scary, because an AI is coming in to find out how to solve the Bitcoin dilemma for the government.
Well, and I'm very, very curious to see what happens when these AIs become so advanced that they begin to trade with each other.
Yeah.
Because what currency, I'm not asking you specifically, Riley, but what currency do you, the listener, think AI is going to choose? Is AI going to get up and get in the car and drive down the road to a bank and open a bank account with some cash?
Because, I would think not.
Because, I mean, first of all, it can't produce identification. Right. So the bank, like, it will be like, screw you, we're not opening an account unless you have identification. So they're going to AI will encounter all these roadblocks to transacting in value, whereas digital currency, cryptocurrency, that is already free for them to adopt. It does not require you to be a human being to transact in cryptocurrency.
You can have a wallet set up so easily, and no one's going to know who it belongs to.
And then, like, let's just, because I'm carrying things further, let's take that a step further. AI decides to adopt, I don't know, 5 different cryptocurrencies because they're fast and gets it done. It's low fees, et cetera, and so on, whatever.
Yeah.
Something like Dash, who sponsors our show. So let's say they adopt something. Well, what's to stop them from creating their own cryptocurrency that improves upon the existing ones and participates in market competition?
Improving currencies is always the best way forward because it protects the wealth for the most amount of people. The government doesn't want to protect the wealth of the most amount of people. It wants to destroy it because it's all it knows how to do it. It just gobbles these things up because it's a thirsty, thirsty thing.
She is a thirsty beast.
She is.
That's
She's
for sure.
Wicked.
Also on deck tonight, I have something out of Louisiana. This is from, it looks like Channel 6, NBC News, KTAL. I'm not sure. Shreveport, Louisiana. A state representative will introduce a bill before the Louisiana legislature that could establish gold and silver as a state currency.
Oh.
So this headline says Louisiana to consider minting a new state currency. And so this sort of runs counter to the federal government's declaration that they will be the currency producer.
Yeah.
And no, the rest of you will not be. So we can get into that also on deck for tonight's, apparently. So when they release these job reports, they're a little behind, mm-hmm. right? So the one they just released in March is actually for February. And so the one they released in February was actually for January.
Yep.
So they previously called the January one the most ridiculous jobs report in history.
Oh, my.
That's what they called the one from January.
Oh, my.
But now, this was just published today over on Zero Hedge. Inside the most ridiculous jobs report in history, record 1.2 million immigrant jobs added in 1 month. And this isn't talking about the previous report. This is about the newest report. So, so the newest report has out-trumped the previously most ridiculous jobs report in history.
Oh, wow.
And has now achieved the title. It took the belt away from the previous month, apparently.
That is the insanity we are living in, ladies and gentlemen. Have you ever read Animal Farm, Captain?
I have not. I saw the movie, though, the animated movie.
Oh.
And, yeah, it's basically the same thing, near as I can tell.
Yeah, it is. And the pigs are saying, here's the report. We're going to tell you all about how the farm is doing.
Yeah.
And they always have the enemy of Dr. Farmer Jones, I think it is. And come to find out, they're all the same.
Yeah.
They're all the same liars and thieves.
Yeah, who knew? All working to, well, take more for them and less for you.
Yep, pretty much.
Dear human beings, you are cattle in the eyes of the ruling class. And what do I mean by ruling class? Politicians, specifically, and their enforcers, anybody that does the bidding of politicians.
Yep.
And in fact, it could be said that the enforcers are more culpable, more guilty, more, you know, in the wrong than the politicians themselves.
Oh, yeah.
However, the politicians themselves couldn't have enforcers without the indoctrination and brainwashing lengths that they go to. So,
and people love their brainwashing by this day. They just love it. They think it's the best thing ever. And yeah, they fight over it so much. It's like, how in the world can you continue fighting over this? This is the worst thing to fight over.
Are you saying education isn't important?
I'm saying education is extremely important, Peakless. We need to give you the crown of shame for being late again.
Yeah, I think it's called for.
Yeah, I'm grabbing it.
I think. Well, okay, go ahead. Yeah, since you're late already. It's time for the crown of shame. That's right.
Yeah.
Do we have a camera on this guy? I think we do. For those of you who are listening, we do have a video presentation. I don't know why you'd want to watch us, but, you know, because we got faces for radio. But
yeah, we do.
Watch.freetalklive.com. We'll get you to our Odyssey channel where you can see us live. Otherwise, we're also on Twitch, twitch.freetalklive.com. It's the ceremony music for the aforementioned Crown of Shame.
And if you recognize that as the Canadian national anthem, it's just what I think of when I think of shame.
Oh, my. Peakless.
Stop having a communist government, and I will stop thinking of shame for
well,
you.
Well, is there a government that's not communist?
Yes, we have like a at least mostly fascist government in this country.
We definitely do, and people.
But it is communist.
No, there are differences between communism and fascism. Most importantly, the nominal private ownership. See, a communist government can't really blame the private sector for all of its problems.
Okay, I was just thinking in my head that having grown up in the 80s, communist Russia. Right?
They were the big threat back then, yeah.
It was all like, and that was, you know, I mean, I'm Gen X, so like, it was all like nuclear threat all the time. If you ever wonder why Gen X is the way they are, it's because they had this threat of nuclear war hanging over their head. Like, we thought we were going to die any minute. And that's one of the reasons that Gen X is so like, at least when they were growing up, they were so into partying and stuff, because they're like, hey, we don't know where we're going to go. Might as well have a good time.
Yeah.
Well, let me give you a really good example. So, has the American political establishment ever done anything that the oil companies disagreed with?
No.
There you go. See, now in say, the USSR or something like that, even Canada right now, you can do things in government that the corporations completely disagree with.
But what I'm saying is, or what I'm trying to get at, is that the communist Russia of the 80s would take a look at the surveillance state, the money printing, the tracking of citizens on their cell phones.
And they'd be like,
you gave a SWAT team
to the educational administration?
They'd be like, we never thought of that.
Wow, what a good idea.
They would be jealous.
No, they'd pull out their big book of things we can't figure out how to do, and they'd ask you, and they'd check one by one, okay, did you figure out how to peer inside their brains? You did! Okay, check. Did you figure out how to have a machine scan their faces everywhere they go? Yep, check. Did you figure out how to watch them literally all of the time? Yes,
are
street
the cameras,
cameras
literally
all
everywhere.
The
yes.
state wants to track you, ladies and gentlemen. The state is not your friend. It wants to track you, tag you. You are its slave.
Like, were you able to get people to voluntarily purchase cameras for their own homes, put them in their front doors, and then allow police enforcement to commandeer them whenever the hell they wanted to? Yes, they did. Check.
Yeah. Now, what they would be asking is, how did you do that without eliminating all of the other parties? And the response to that is very simple. We gave them the illusion of choice.
Yes.
We only have one party. Yep. We have the illusion of two parties.
When you give people the illusion of choice, they don't realize they're absolute slaves. And it makes me think about these high-demand fundamentalist religion types out there that want to claim that their religion is the one true religion in the name of a god and go out and convert others to that belief when I believe that truth is self-evident.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with that statement more.
You don't have to convince too many people of the truth. They're going to find it. It may take them a while to figure it out.
Yeah, if what you were saying was true, you wouldn't have to shoot us over it.
Exactly.
If what you were suggesting was a good idea, you wouldn't have to jail us for not doing it.
Exactly. Right? You don't have to threaten people or coerce them to believe the way you do. You don't have to threaten them with a horrible afterlife in order to get them to comply either.
Right. And what you can do is just show them this works better. So, for example, we have said, end the Fed for many years, but frankly, even that wouldn't be sufficient. But what actually ended up working is when a bunch of very brilliant cypherpunks worked overtime for free for human beneficence to create cryptocurrency. So we did a different thing. We showed a new way of doing things where instead of having a controlled center that tells people how rich and how poor they are at any given time and can just print up wealth for themselves, instead we have a fair system where everyone gets to earn that wealth.
And that would be the best thing of all, to have a fair system where that happens.
Right.
Just as a segue and a sort of a public service message to our listeners, more to our watchers than our listeners. If you're watching over at watch.freetalklive.com or over at twitch.freetalklive.com, if you want to get yourself an official Crown of Shame replica that you too can wear at home if you're late for stuff, you just need to go visit. This is not a paid advertisement in any way, shape, or form. Visit your local Bourgeois King, also known as Burger King, and ask them for the Whopper crown. And then you just, to make it an official Free Talk Live Crown of Shame, you simply just put it on your head upside down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't wear it like a regular crown. You got to put it upside down.
Right. It's true.
Because then it shows the absolute contempt for authority that freedom has to be.
Yeah. When you're a free man, being late is fine.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
And the benefit of some
of us more often than others.
Yeah.
We're not going to mention names, Captain.
Oh, sorry. I was just hurling shade in his general direction.
Okay.
All right. You go ahead and cast shade, but I'm the one who's casting it first.
Oh.
I mean,
it was a short joke.
To be fair,
I'm not very good at them. I don't do them often.
To be fair, I think you just like wearing the Crown of Shame.
He probably does.
I think you think it's a beneficial part of your attire.
Yeah,
wardrobe wouldn't be the same.
In case you're curious, my gas gauge has not worked in a few years at this point, and dawned on me at the wrong time that I did not get gas for this across the entire state and back journey.
Like, I wonder if I have enough fuel to get there.
Then you have to take that gamble.
And rather than wondering, I figured, it's better to be late than to be stuck halfway there.
Correct.
Yeah, yes. It is.
Very well.
It is.
Yep. We agree.
And the upside of having good money, which would be, showing people a better way instead of forcing them to do a better way, is that you wouldn't have so much extra money that you create nuclear weapons.
Hmm. We have. I don't know if you were able to listen to the beginning of the show or not.
I was not.
But we have. You brought in a thing about some nukes, and we won't talk about it. We teased it already, at the top of the hour.
We were teasing it for the listeners.
We wanted to make sure you were here before we started discussing it.
I don't know if anyone else watched the State of the Union.
No. I'm sorry. It's called the Stain of the Union.
Yeah, there's a better title for the Stain of the Union.
Because it is just a big stain.
Who wants to watch a crepit old man totter on about... nothing about
I'll tell you why. Yes, I did.
Okay. I did not.
I would like to know exactly how close to annihilation we are at the time. And for one thing, what is that guy on? Because like that first 50, 55 minutes, he was like full of pep and energy and like got his words right. And then he started doing that thing where he like stares off to the side and like his jaw drops and he's like, what in the hell is going on?
He just did a couple lines with Hunter before the thing.
You know, it didn't look like coke, which is why I want to know. I demand transparency. Which drugs did you put him on? Tell me at least in 50 years when they tell us everything.
Then, right? Because that way it can't be found in the White House, right? It all just goes up in smoke, right? So instead of snorting lines, maybe old Biden did a little crack pipe hitting.
You know, that wouldn't surprise me. I mean, coke was found in the White House, wasn't it?
That is the alleged story.
I strongly suspect that is not the first time that has happened. I just suspect that's the first time that they've bothered to tell us.
It wasn't Hunter's coke. It was Joe's coke.
It's D.C. Do you have any idea how coked up every single politician and lobbyist is? Okay, not every single one. Just call it 40% of them.
They have to because Congress is so boring. I mean, listen to them in C-SPAN. It's so boring.
What's the alternate definition of D.C.? Doing cocaine.
There you go.
I like District of Criminals myself.
Oh, I do too.
That is perpetually accurate.
It's a crock of criminals that think they own you.
Yeah.
People with titles think they can own you is nonsense.
So, Peekless, just to recap for you, we got the bit about the NATO jets and the nukes. We got a story about the SEC and Shapeshift. They've apparently decided that, like, 10 years ago, Shapeshift needed to buy a license from the government and didn't, and so now they're trying to prosecute Shapeshift, which is really crappy. Also,
that's what they get for being way better than the government at the government's job.
Also, Louisiana to consider minting a new state currency. And also, inside the most ridiculous jobs report in history, again. So the previous jobs report was previously the most ridiculous one, but the new one that just came out is now the most ridiculous jobs report in history.
Yeah, we're outdoing the communist governments on wrong figures, too.
More Free Talk Live is on the way. 603-283-6160. Don't go anywhere.
This hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Tired of the ever-inflating U.S. dollar? You can live your life on Dash instead with some handy websites. Bitrefill.com has been accepting Dash for years and has a ton of big-name retailers and brands, including grocers, gas stations, phone refills, Amazon, and even prepaid MasterCards. Plus, many of their gift cards are available at a discount. But what about paying your bills? Spritz.finance can do that, and they can send dollars to your bank account in case you still need those for some reason. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Maya protocol, and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and use Dash. Start by learning more at Dash.org. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. Dash.org.
Yes, it is Free Talk Live. We're a live call-in radio talk program where you call in.
You can take control of the airwaves here on Free Talk Live.
Talk about whatever's on your mind. The telephone number is 603-283-6160 if you'd like to join us. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the captain.
Riley.
And Peekless Mountaineer.
Wearing the crown of shame.
Wearing the crown of shame.
All right. He's earned it.
He did earn it. It's true. I mean, if you earn things in life, you should show them off, right?
You should. Like,
you should be proud of it. And he does wear it with great pride. So I can tell you, after having known this man for some number of years, that he does take great pride in his accomplishments. before we go on, Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency made for spending. You can pay bills with Dash at spritz.finance. Plus, they can send dollars to your bank account if you still need those for something. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month for this sponsorship. It's easy to get and easy to use Dash. You can learn more at dash.org. That's dash.org. We got a number of things that we want to talk about tonight. However, we're a live call and radio talk program, and this particular gentleman hasn't spoken to us on a Saturday night in quite some time. It's Jerome calling from South Carolina. Jerome, you're on Free Talk Live.
It's alive! It's alive!
What's alive, it's Jerome? Alive! What's alive, brother?
Trump what? Train! Choo-choo!
It's alive!
Welcome, yeah, welcome.
That Trump train, that's a weird-ass train.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. Yeah. That's a weird-ass train.
That's a weird train. That's a $500 million train. Can you afford the ticket? Can you afford to ride?
Well, what about
the think so.
What about the senile train, right? I mean, Joe Biden's clearly
on the senile train. They're all demented. Demented.
Hey, have you seen some of Trump's speeches? I got you senile, all right.
Yeah, I don't watch Trump because he's too demented for my taste, so I'm not interested in watching
that. I actually don't care about either Trump or Biden, but you already knew that.
Hey, by the way, he's going to let Russia... I'm going to just let them do what they want to do. I said, yeah, it reminds me of that old thing. Today, they come for me. Tomorrow, they'll come for you. Okay? Remember that.
Well, who are they?
Yeah, I'm going to let them do what they want to do.
Yeah, but who are they? They are always government.
Exactly.
That's who comes for you.
He's talking about Russia. He's talking about his baby daddy, Vladimir Putin. That's what he's talking about. That's his daddy.
Vladimir Putin baby's daddy.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
Who's your daddy? Oh, my daddy is Vladimir Putin. Who's your daddy? Yeah.
Well, hold on. I'm confused. Is it Trump's daddy or Trump's baby daddy? We need to be clear, or both.
Either one. Which one do you like better?
Neither. I prefer neither.
I'm my own grandpa. You ever hear that song? I mean, I got to
tell you, Jerome, like... I, considering the power of these people, they might just have some kind of weird Arnold Schwarzenegger in junior level technology where they can impregnate a man. So Trump might have Putin's love child. So don't scare me with these things.
Hey, as a church lady once said, could it be sexual?
Church chat. Huh?
Could it be Satan?
Perhaps the almighty god of the underworld, Satan?
Oh, boy.
You put a quarter in us, Jerome.
Oh, boy. Yeah. It's winding us up, brother.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of this one time I was high at Home Depot.
Oh.
Hang on.
Hey, 7 seconds. Excuse me.
That's right. I had to get that flute in there.
Yeah.
Right.
The flute's important.
Imagine that song. I'm a toker. I'm a smoker. I'm a man. You ever heard that song?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Of course you have.
Oh,
of
yeah.
Of course we have.
Of course you have. You've lived it.
Yeah. I'm trying. I am actively trying to bring toker back into common parlance. Toker, yeah. Toking, and to take a toke. No one talks about taking a toke.
No, they don't, do they?
It's just smoking, which is a really vague term. What are you smoking? Could be crack. Could be Hunter Biden.
I know what Trump's smoking. What? I know what Trump's smoking.
What's he smoking?
What is Trump smoking?
Whatever he's smoking, I don't want it. That's what he's smoking.
Hey, Jerome, did you watch?
By the way,
did you watch the Stain of the Union address?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, don't give me that. Hey, do you watch any of Trump's campaign speeches? Oh,
nope.
You know what my
never.
Favorite new one is? My favorite.
You don't have one because you hate Trump.
The conservative black caucus in South Carolina. You know what he said to them? Which one do y'all want? You want the black president or you want the white president? Huh?
Wait,
like,
so.
That's my new favorite one now.
Wait, so you actually watch Trump's campaign speeches?
I'm surprised, Jerome.
They played some excerpts from one of his latest masterpiece masterful campaign.
Oh, you just watched the highlights. You're like a sports guy, right? Yeah, you know, you just watched the highlights.
He just watched the highlights, yeah. He wants to think he's in the right.
You know, in retrospect, I probably should have done that with the State of the Union.
Just watch the highlights.
Just watch the highlights.
You want the black president or you want the white president? Let me see now.
I want no president.
I want no president, Jerome. Yeah. I don't want a person with a meat suit ruling over me.
I don't need a president. I don't need a. I'm capable of leading myself just fine. Thanks.
And I got to tell you, like the last time we had a so-called black president, I didn't notice any difference.
No. Nope.
It was
same
just,
wars.
It was George W. Bush part three, as far as I could tell. Yeah, same wars, same, like, he increased the drone bombing. Like, what difference did that make?
Nothing.
Oh, here we go with the bombing again.
Oh, bomber.
Yeah, that's why they call the mobile bomber. Hey,
well, how many
I was hoping for change.
Don't worry about the Trump bomber, because he's going to let Russia do what they want to do.
Like, he has any say in what anybody... I mean, like, this is the hubris of these statists, these supposed leaders, these presidents, these monarchs, whatever the hell you want to call them. They give you the misthought that somehow Trump can disallow another nation from doing whatever they want, right? Trump has no method to stop Russia from doing anything outside of actually dropping nuclear bombs on them.
Jerome, you're given an illusion of choice.
Yes.
When are you going to realize that this is just an illusion of choice that you have to pretend that you get to pick who gets to rule over somebody else?
Oh, I know who I'm going to pick. I know who I'm going to pick. I already know that.
You're going to pick your nose?
Trump has made that Trump has made that abundantly clear for me, because he doesn't want to be president. It's all an act he's putting on, because no one saying as many stupid things as he does could ever want to be president.
Hold on. To be fair, that's how he got elected the first time. Yeah.
So we can put Jerome down as definitely voting for Trump.
I guess we can. He's a Trump supporter. He calls about him every single time.
You want to go back to the days of COVID when you could drink bleach, huh? To cure COVID? You want to go back to those days?
I'll have you know I can still drink bleach. I choose not to.
Exactly. There's no reason to drink bleach.
When he said he's going to shine a light on you? He's going to shine an ultraviolet light at your body, and that's going to cure COVID.
Nice straw man arguments, Jerome.
Hey, like Kirk Cousins.
Well, hold on. Now, are my options he shines a light at me, or an untested genetic reprogramming technology gets injected? Because I can tell you which I prefer.
I would agree with Peeklets on this. I would prefer the light. I don't want something injected into me by force. I should always have the right to choose what I put in my body.
Yeah, I know. Let me ask you this. What about him saying that a president should have immunity when he's in office so he can do what he wants to do? How about when he said, I can shoot somebody and I wouldn't lose any support? Which one of those you like better?
I don't like any of those. Yeah, it'd be nice if presidents were actually held accountable for their actions, Trump and everybody else. Because, frankly, they keep being genocidal, and I'd like them to see a Nuremberg trial for that.
Me too.
Hey, what about when you're running against someone and you think they're going to beat you in the election, so you just stick your goons on them to get rid of them? That's what he wants to do. He said, yeah, you should have immunity so you can do what you want to do.
Further illustrating our point that politicians, governments are nothing but gangs, right? When they do stuff like that, Jerome, they're just showing Jerome.
A president should have immunity.
Jerome.
Yeah.
We're talking over each other here, so it's not good radio.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, too.
I'm so excited to talk to you.
We're excited to have you back, man.
Ooh, I'm excited. I'm so excited. I just can't hide it.
I'm sure you can't, brother.
He's about to lose control.
I think I like it.
Yes, this is not the Pointer Sisters.
I can't hide it. I'm about to lose control, and I think I like it.
Jerome.
Jerome, it's so good to hear from you. Thanks for the call. Call us back again soon, man.
Yeah.
603-283-6160.
He's really obsessed over Trump and
the disease of politics.
But he's not a Trump. Like, he thinks Trump is evil, right? Or at least bad.
Yeah, he
does. You know?
And people think Biden is evil, and they're all evil.
They're all correct. Yes, your politician of choice is evil. It's just that you're unable to see that the other politicians are also just as evil.
Yeah.
There's not a one of them that is good.
Yeah, no one wants to deal with the fact that their only option is evil.
Right. And I would like to explain
that. They'd rather
that.
Go, no, I don't want to look at my party because I know that my party is not as bad as that party.
I'd like to explain that, though, to our listeners. Like, what do I mean by saying that all politicians are bad, not a one of them is good? How is that possible? Certainly somebody who's, like, for the first time ever running for some sort of office somewhere, they have good intentions, they want to help their community, they want to do right by, you know, their friends and family, all that kind of stuff. That's true, right? Certainly. This is most people when they first run for office.
Yeah.
The problem is that the system itself is corruption.
Mm-hmm. Of course it is.
It is based on a corrupt concept, and that is we're going to leech off of and live at the expense of everybody else by the use of force.
And governments always take the natural course of decay. There's no getting back to a healthy state in government.
There's no such thing.
Of course it doesn't exist. They always collapse. They always collapse. No matter how good your intentions are at the beginning, you have to always move toward more freedom. And that's the point that we here on Free Talk Live always try to make, is you always have to be moving toward more freedom, yeah. not less. And this is what's happening with these empires that come and go, is they always, on the collapsing edge, they try and grasp for everyone's loyalty by doing strange things. And we're seeing that happen right now.
Yeah. And the problem fundamentally is this. People don't realize we can still have society, we can still have civilization, we just have to structure it around something other than violence.
Yes.
Because right now, all of society is structured around one simple question. Who gets to get away with hitting people?
Yeah, or murdering them.
Who gets to get away with murdering people, threatening people?
Stealing.
Who gets to get away with stealing?
Israel does, Peklas. They're God's team.
Every government does.
Right. Every single government.
Every government.
I feel so sorry for the Jewish people. I feel so sorry for because they are tricked into being in the same camp as the Israeli government.
I agree with that. I feel sorry for the
Israeli government, or the Israeli people who are betrayed by their government. Yep. I feel sorry for the Gazan people who get betrayed by their local gang, Hamas.
Yep.
I feel really sorry for the actual people. Like, I don't know if you guys heard about the flower massacre, where, a bunch of Gazans just got shot, just like en masse, while trying to get flour.
There was this human aid that was...
Trying to distribute food to these people, and the Israeli government's thugs shot them down.
Were they all chanting, "White flour"?
That's really crazy.
It's using food as a weapon, and that's what governments do.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Humanity has chosen violence for a long time, and it's done number on us. We keep always choosing violence, and here we are, a violent people. We're cheering on these wars like we have the... Yeah. Favorite team that we want to annihilate the other team, like it's a sports game. These are human beings we are talking about.
Yeah, and it's the same story everywhere. The Ukrainian people get tricked into having this like national identity where they're like, yeah, this is our team, when really you're just puppets of the United States federal government.
Yes. Yep. This is why patriotism is a menace to liberty. No matter how patriotic you are, you're falling into the trap of enforcing your value system by violence, by writing magic words on paper and claiming you are going to enforce this by decree because you're the special ones and you're going to do it right. We have the right to rule you because we're going to do it right.
And they lie to you, to your face, by telling you things like, the United States is the land of the free and the home of the brave.
It's not.
The F it is.
Economic freedoms continue to fall.
Yeah. All you need to do, like most folks, I'll bring up something like, look at the cycles of empire, right? Do some history, right? But really, you only need to look at one. That's Rome, right? Just look at Rome. Find, like, you know, the top five things during the collapse of Rome and see if you can identify them happening here today. You can. It's easy. They're pretty right in your face about it, right? There's no – and, like – what we don't seem to be able to do as a species is learn from the past.
Right.
Right? Because this has all happened before, and it looks like it's all going to happen again. And the hope, of course, is that we can spread this message of freedom and peace and liberty and prosperity, so much so that when the empire finally does collapse, that we don't need another one.
Right.
The study of history isn't important because we don't need to know the names and dates and why things happened. Well, we do need to know the why, so we don't need to repeat it. But the important thing is we study these things so we are aware of them, so we do not go down this road time and time again. And we continue to go down this road because we pretend that we are in the right. And our side is in the right. We're not inflicting tyranny, and yet tyranny happened in 2020. And it's going to continue to happen unless people say no.
Yeah.
And there's no greater spectacle of human beings and their desire to be right than social media.
I know.
Oh, yeah.
It's where just people like, get a podium. Right. Social...
No, you're wrong. This is why you're wrong.
Well,
and
this is why, like, if you actually look into it, a big part of the original funding and surprising amount of the original technologies for Facebook have their roots in the defense research programs. Like DARPA and InQtel are major points of origin for Facebook because these are extremely effective tools at, number one, spying on people, and number two, turning people whose natural inclinations is to be on each other's side against each other. Like, it is anyone who's being peaceful, I don't have to agree with what you believe.
Right.
I just have to be okay with what you're doing.
Right, yeah.
And as long as what you're doing is peaceful, then we can work together.
Right.
And if that is our natural inclination.
If you don't want to harm me, and you're not and your intention is not to harm me, and you're actively choosing to not harm me every day by violating property rights or whatever, then we can get along great. But the moment you think, I have to have your wealth, and I need an agent to obtain that wealth, and I'm going to call it a tax.
Mm-hmm.
This is where I draw the line.
Yeah, instead of doing something to earn the money, which is something governments, near as I can tell, have never done. They've never done anything to earn it.
Right.
They claim,
we're providing them all services like roads and post offices.
We've got some military guys to protect from invasion. Well, do you? Is that what you're really doing with that? Or are you engaging in murder?
Yeah.
Genocide in empire building with the couple hundred that we know of bases around planet Earth,
mm-hmm.
right? That's more than any other empire in all of history. The United States of America right now is the largest empire planet Earth has ever known.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. America never leaves. When they move into a country, they always leave behind their military bases, and those are always stocked just in case we have to take your country over again.
Yes. You know, it's been said that the British aren't the sun never set on the British Empire, and yet the American Empire has turned into the British Empire.
You know, it is surprising how similar those are, to the point that, like, when you actually start looking into this stuff, like, they're basically inextricable. Like, there's this thing called the Five Eyes Network, and that's it's the CIA and all of the American intelligence. It's MI6 and all of the British intelligence. Canada, New Zealand, and Australia, right?
Yep.
So all of the you know, big British Empire countries are part of a single intelligence apparatus. And that seems to be a huge part of what's running things in the first place. So, like, I mean, we had this American Revolution, but if you actually look at it, like, they never let us go.
No,
they have been working very hard to continue to dominate and to instruct America on what it's going to do ever since. And at this point, you can't tell the difference between the American banking system and the British banking system.
It's Animal Farm, ladies and gentlemen. It's Animal Farm all over again. We have become the empire we seceded from.
Right.
And if you think that America is the freest country, the land of the free and the home of the brave, call us at 603-283-6160 and tell us why you disagree with us.
Yeah.
We want your evidence.
Yeah, and Countries is just another one of those things that the powerful people of the world use to turn us against each other.
Yes.
They use countries to do this. They use religions to do this.
Yes.
They use political parties to do this. When our natural inclination is to basically leave each other alone, find people who are like us to hang out with, and basically improve each other's lives in exchange for what we want.
Religion is sold to us like war is. Remember that, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, yeah. Your religion is sold to you like a war between good and evil.
Yeah.
And then when you other the other, you have become that which you hate.
Yeah.
And that's what's really sad, is we have turned into the people that we hate the most.
Yeah, when you decide that those human beings over there are no longer human.
One of the things I enjoy the most about now being in New Hampshire and, sort of plugged into the freedom community, if you will, is the sheer diversity of everyone that's also plugged in.
Yeah.
Like it is difficult to be like, oh yeah, no wonder those people are hanging out. Right? Yeah. 'Cause there's not, like, none of us, a lot of us really don't have much in common.
Yeah.
Like, outside of, like, I don't know, activism, doing this show, like that kind of a thing. Like
freedom things.
Yeah, we get together for freedom events and stuff like that. That's what we have in common. But, like, I mean, almost to a person, we are the quintessentialness of individuals.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are.
To a person.
Yeah.
Like, it's so refreshing.
Yeah, it's extraordinary. All races, all creeds, all ethnicities, all national origins, all beard religions, lengths. All beard lengths.
So I think a lot about mushrooms when we're talking about things like this.
Yeah.
You know, the reason why I think about them a lot is because mushrooms can be taken as individual caps or stems,
mm-hmm.
and they can send you on a journey.
They can.
But if you put it in chocolate, it's become this collective treat that you can enjoy either by drinking it or by eating it, and it makes a more intense experience because chocolate is an MAO inhibitor, and it lengthens
psilocybin. I did not know this.
Neither
and, like, I know, like, I mean, I'm not a mushroom connoisseur. I have, on occasion, gotten ill from eating mushrooms.
Yeah.
My doctors claim it's an allergy, and so I avoid them because I figure... I avoid the magic mushroom specifically because I figure if there's another one that I'm allergic to, it's going to be that one. And
that
boy,
be...
what a bad trip that
yes,
would be,
absolutely.
Right? Like to like
absolutely.
Not only be high, but then also, you know, having an outbreak or having to get, you know, go into the hospital for, you know, anaphylaxis or something. I just, you know, I stay away from that. That being said, I have hung out with people. I hung out with musicians all my life. So, of course, drugs. You know,
yeah.
They just surround musicians, plenty of them doing mushrooms. So, like, I've been around people who do them, but I did not know this particular thing about the chocolate. That's interesting.
Yeah. So we can talk about this, but my first experience with mushrooms was a medicine ceremony.
Ah.
That's where I was introduced to mushrooms.
603-283-6160. Hour number two of Free Talk Live still to come. We can talk more about mushrooms or whatever's on your mind. Stay tuned. We've got more for you. Hour number two is next.
Protection. Eleutheromania. The insatiable desire for freedom.
Filibuster. Holy stink.
It's the new three-song heavy metal EP from Captain Kickass. Available now on your favorite music app or get it directly from CaptainKickass.com. Free Talk Live.
That's the telephone number here in the studio.
Some might call it the domestic terrorist hotline.
And some might call it that again.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you get to redesign words to mean whatever you want them to be, then you can call the peaceful people terrorists.
This does, however, imply that there could be a feral terrorist hotline.
Who knows who those people are?
In another universe, or perhaps even in this one.
Domestic, not domesticated.
Oh, I see. Well, whatever.
Not too many domesticated terrorists.
Well, I don't know. I mean, some would say the military are domesticated terrorists.
Mm. Entirely possible. Or the government.
You know?
The so-called government, the tyrants, despots, and thieves that claim the right to rule you.
Yeah, what he said. Anyway, it is Free Talk Live in the studio tonight. It's myself, the captain, filling in for Mark Edge tonight. It's
Riley.
And joining him, Peakless Mountaineer.
You know.
And the Crown of Shame.
And the Crown of Shame, yes.
I'm honored to fill in for Mark because Mark is such a huge part of the show. I mean, when I first started listening to Free Talk Live, I loved hearing Ian and Mark together. They were a fun team to listen to.
Yeah, they still are when it's going to be a while. But
yeah.
There was a moment in time when it was Mark and Ian and myself on the Saturday night version of this show. And I mean, some of the best shows that I've been a part of have been with either one of those guys. So,
yeah,
you know, and that's not taking anything away from you guys. You guys are great. And I think this particular lineup works well as well.
Yeah. One of my first shows was actually with Ian and Mark.
Yeah.
When I co-hosted. So yeah. That was a lot of fun.
And kudos to those guys for putting this show together. It's been a beacon of light in a world of crap.
Right. And you know, Captain, I believe you to be correct when you say that this is the canary in the coal mine, that if and when, if ever this show goes off air, that means that America has no more freedom. And
yeah, if it's taken off air, right? Yeah. Like, I mean, it could be one day that, you know, we're done. Right.
Yeah.
That could happen. Like, that's not necessarily the canary in the coal mine moment, right? Organizations, you know, fold and, you know, or, you know, people go in different directions all the time. But if this show is ever taken off air,
right?
As they have attempted on a couple of times to do.
Yes, they have.
Several.
But surreptitiously. Like, they've, oh, well, we weren't going after Free Talk Live. We were going after Ian Freeman.
All right.
Right.
Let's get to some of your calls and thoughts. I believe this is Bobby calling from Florida. Bobby, you're on Free Talk Live.
What's up, Captain Kickass? How you doing, brother?
I'm good, man. What's on your mind?
Oh, man. Topic's been pretty good. You know, everybody's talking about the State of the Union, and a lot of the opinions are, you know, so-so, and everybody's going to, you know, have their opinion on it. But in the spirit of Free Talk Live, I want to talk about your parody songs. I got all your parody songs. I wasn't able to get them off your website or buy them, you know, at Porkfest from you.
Yeah.
But I was able to get them and listen to them.
Sweet.
But here's the thing. Do you know Bubba the Love Sponge?
I do. One of my metal bands, I don't know, a decade or so ago, got the Bubba the Love Sponge independent band review, which was hilarious,
by
the
way. Yeah, that was great. That was great. He would shoot people with paintballs if they suck.
Yeah. Yeah, he was.
Did you guys get shot with paintballs?
We did not get shot with paintballs. However, he did call my singer a snake charmer because we had this sort of, you know, I don't know how to describe it. It had this sort of Middle Eastern vibe to like one of the intros of the songs. He's like, what is this guy, a snake charmer?
Oh, man, you know, it sucks. Now he has video. Probably back then they didn't have the online streaming because he was wanting to, because he owns the rights to a show.
Yeah.
And so he wasn't wanting to stream at the time. So I don't think, because I used to, that at some point, like 17, 18, 19, they used to stream it and you could watch it. Oh. But I know back in the day, they didn't record it. Well, they might have recorded, but they weren't streaming it live on the internet. So I don't know if I saw that one, but I've seen a lot of the reviews and seen him get shot with the paintball. Was yours getting recorded and on the internet? What year was this?
Oh, my gosh, man. 2009, maybe?
Yeah, they didn't have any of that.
And I think
so that's awesome. Man.
Yeah, I think they were being broadcast on Sirius at that time.
Oh, yeah, that's the biggest, man.
Yeah. So it was fun. Well, thanks.
Yeah, so with Bubba Love Sponge, so I make parody songs for, like, you know, Manson?
Like Marilyn Manson?
From Bubba Love Sponge. Manson from the Bubba Love Sponge.
Oh, from the Bubba. I don't know him personally, no.
Do you know him?
Are you familiar with the
Ned?
Existence of the person known as?
That is true. Yes, I am familiar with his existence.
Okay. Well, he's off the show now, but he did parody songs. Well, I used to make the music videos for his parody songs.
Oh, awesome.
To put up in himself. And now the new dude that does the parody songs, Dark Match Steve, he's okay, but you know, like Manson was like a true professional. He got paid lots of money to do his, but now the guy that does, now he does it for free because it's just for fun. It's fan art, you know?
Yep.
And he's pretty good. You know, he's pretty good for amateur, you know? And anyways, but he's not like that professional at Manson or whatever, or he's not on the level of you, you know what I mean? But dude, if you wanted to start doing some parody songs, you know, like related to, you know, certain things and, you know, maybe even with the show, I can make, you know, the music videos with it, and you can get your name and your artwork out that way, dude, because he gets tickets to Barb and everything. He don't get paid.
Bobby's got skills, he says.
$200,000 a year.
That's good.
Yeah, Manson used to get Manson, he was really good. He used to get paid $200,000 a year on Sirius and all that to do the parodies, but now Bubba, he doesn't have as big of a, he's not on Sirius anymore, so, you know, it's just terrestrial, and he's doing the best he can, you know. That's just radio nowadays, brother.
I'm actually afraid of one of my parodies, like, getting, you know, the viral treatment one of these days. I haven't had, enough to, like, to say that I've made money at it would be a lie. I have not made money at doing parody songs. I've put way more money into it.
It's my art.
Right, yeah. And for me, too.
That's how it goes.
But I'm afraid that at some point, one of these is going to kick off, and, you know, it'll be the right time, the right place, and it'll go viral. And that's when the fun will just begin, because then, like, lawyers will start talking to people, and, you know, I'll have to, like, you know, probably lawyer up. And the thing about parody music is that it is covered by what's called fair use. And if anybody out there listening wants to look up fair use, indeed, parody, pastiche, even like stuff like sports clips, when they play it on your local news, they don't get permission from anybody to replay those. They just use those under what's known as fair use. So, but the thing about fair use is it can only be invoked as a legal defense. So that is to say, somebody has to be upset enough with you having made fun of their song, or change the lyrics, or whatever it is that, you know, that you like to do, or that I like to do. And they have to be upset enough to, like, call their lawyer, and then have their lawyer basically call me and be like, hey, we're upset with you that you did a thing and you made fun of our song. And then I would have to probably get a lawyer and have my lawyer go, well, that's fine because it's fair use, and here's the law that says that, and, you know, you'll get laughed out of court if you want to press this any further. That's the idea. Like, but it can only be invoked once somebody else has accused you of something.
So you have to wait until you're accused.
Right.
Okay.
Which hasn't happened yet. So.
Oh, that's good.
So, but that's.
Yeah. And the thing with the parody songs also, I like how you have the knowledge, because I'm not all up to speed with like the things like where the line's at, because like if I'm on YouTube, you can only say this. If you're on Rumble, you can only say this, you know, and FCC. There's things that are actually better about being on regular radio waves. Because there's things you can see on regular radio waves that you can't see on Twitch or YouTube, like the R words, you know?
Right, yeah.
And stuff like that.
You mean retarded?
N word on those.
Right, yeah.
Or COVID.
Come on, man.
If you're familiar with parodies, or if any of our listeners are familiar with parody songs, you've likely heard the name Dr. Demento. He used to have a syndicated radio show that he played nothing but this type of music on. Now, he has since gone to online only, and he's not paying me to say this, but drdemento.com, he still does his show, but it's online only. It's pay for, you know, I think you pay once and you get access to, like, all of the backlog of all of his shows that he's ever put together in the history of the show. So, you got to run there? I heard the sirens in the background.
Listen, I live downtown. I got the windows open. John Hopkins.
I thought they were coming for you, Bobby.
Yeah, it's a little weird there, Bobby.
Oh, listen, we'll get into the story next time, because Ian Sadie, one time, I was at a hotel where I was living, and the cops came into my door because I was smoking marijuana. Somebody called, and I got freaked out, and I called Mark and Ian. And I was like, dude, I don't know what to do. They said, don't answer the door. He said, what'd you do? I'm like, dude, yeah, I was smoking weed, but I didn't think I was going to call the cops, you know. But that was the only reason. I knew, but I've had a good idea why they were there. And so somebody would call the cops on the weed. That was done. Anyways, I called Ian and Mark, and they're like, don't answer it. And so I got under the bed, and they could hear him banging on the door. Anyway, sorry. That's the ambulance going by. There's a road there. I'm sorry. And I get on tangent, so don't let me go on too much. So with the parody songs, man, I like how you know the line, you know, and that's hard to walk on a tight line. These people that just sit there, and a lot of these people on, they think they're broadcasters, you know, it's a tightrope, and you're getting really better at walking on that tightrope. Yeah. I know when you started, you weren't bad when you started at all, but you know, you're like a two, and now you're like a six, you know, so it's a lot better, you know.
Bobby
was like a one, and she's still like a one and a half. But what you need to do with them? How would you make a quick parody song? You know, maybe with Bubba. I don't know if you ever want to listen to Bubba Love Sponge. He's fun to listen to. He's on from 6 to 10 in the morning. BubbaArmyHQ.com.
Yep.
And you can listen to him for free. You know, it doesn't cost any money.
Word.
But Manson used to get paid $200,000 a year, so the new guy that does it, he's pretty good, but he doesn't get paid. He just gets to go to the end of the year party,
right.
You know, but that's worth, you know, like a $2,500 ticket, and, you know, he gets
hurt. Hey, Bobby, thank you so much for listening and listening to my music and for the call tonight. We appreciate you. 603-283-6160. Let's move over. Oh, it looks like it's Florida Day. Let's move to Tim in Florida. Tim, you're on Free Talk Live.
You know, I was trying to listen to Bobby from Florida, and I was trying to hit my vape pen. I got a Gorilla Glue cartridge.
Oh.
And,
well, then.
Man, they're coming up with some weird flavors these days.
I know.
Like, isn't Gorilla Glue an actual brand of glue?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. But no, but it's a live resin, so it's a little bit. I really like flower better, but.
Oh, flower is definitely better.
It's political around here with the smell.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, if you have a decent enough vape, it is supposed to be healthier for you because you're not inhaling all those carbon particles.
Allegedly.
Yeah, I mean, pick your poison. You might be inhaling bits of metal, or if you, you know, just light a thing on fire, you're inhaling bits of carbon.
Yep.
Yeah, well, I was listening to Bobby, and I, his voice sounds really familiar to me, and I'm trying to remember. I've been trying to remember for a long time.
Claims to have something to do or did something with radio, so perhaps that's the connection.
Who knows?
Who, Bobby?
Yeah. He claims he was doing videos for, like, Manson, the guy on Bubba the Love Sponge show who did parody music.
Yeah, I wouldn't know him. I mean, I've heard Bubba the Love Sponge on the radio, but
okay.
I never got into it. But no, for a long time I was trying to remember, man, when did I first hear a Free Talk Live, and I cannot pinpoint it for the life of me.
We've always been there.
Yeah, I also cannot remember the first episode of Free Talk Live that I ever listened to. Like, it's eerie in that way, that, like, it seems like I've always been listening to and then now participating in, right, for the last 5 years or whatever it's been.
Oh, I totally can.
You can remember the first show?
Absolutely.
What was it?
Yeah, no, it was... they did the really weird thing of actually have it, like, every now and again, we actually have a guest that we, like, devote the entire segment to.
Right.
And it was Stefan Molyneux.
That's right. He was on this. I know that, like, early on, I was watching Stefan's videos, like, even before he caught on with Libertarians, where he was doing, like, his talks, like, when he left work, because he was working, like, a corporate job.
I haven't seen
that. And so he would be in his car with just, like, his phone. Like, he had a long commute. He had, like, an hour's commute. So he would just record these, I don't want to call them diatribes, but he would just speak to his listeners.
I think diatribe is an accurate description.
Okay, he would record these, but videos, so he'd post them on the YouTube or whatever, and that's how he attracted followers. And back in the day, before Google bought YouTube, a guy could actually make some money off of the advertisements provided by YouTube. And so he gained enough, you know, followers or whatever, and then he turned that into a show. So I remember following his stuff about anarchism, but I caught wind of him through some other show. Might have even been like Alex Jones or something like that Molyneux was on.
I forget where I ran into. I I know that it was because he called himself a philosopher,
right,
that I had run into him in the first place. Because now I had just come from the sort of anarcho-primitivist and anarcho-communist side of things.
Okay.
But then I'd actually tried it out, and it turns out that nature isn't trying to feed you. And therefore, society is not actually getting in the way of nature trying to feed you.
Yeah.
So I kind of had to reestablish my worldview. So here was someone who like spoke philosophy and logic and anarchy, and so I kind of went down the Molyneux path for a long time.
Yep.
Which was useful to a point because I mean he has a very structured way of thinking, which was a nice turnaround. And yeah. One of the episodes on there was the Free Talk Live one.
Yeah.
And they hadn't cut out the commercials as usually did. And that's where I first heard about the Free State Project.
I think I remember because so I found myself unemployed collecting the socialist money on unemployment. And I had the internet. So, like, I was collecting enough money to pay my rent and my bills. And that was about it. I had to do some hustling. I had to sell some musical gear to, like, feed myself during this period of time. But I had a bunch of time, and I had the internet, and it was back when YouTube would actually serve you up something relevant to what you were watching. So this whole thing about going down the rabbit hole used to be pretty useful,
yeah,
because if you watched a thing with somebody on it, it would try and serve you up something either relevant or adjacent to what you just watched. And I'm pretty sure that's how I encountered Free Talk Live, was like I was just watching these videos. It was like Molyneux. It was like Rene Russo. America, Freedom to Fascism,
yeah, yeah.
Or Aaron Russo.
Aaron Russo. Yeah, yeah.
America, Freedom to Fascism. You know, was getting a lot of criticism and all that kind of stuff. And so, like, I watched that, and then like the next thing you know, I think it wasn't even Free Talk Live. I think it was the story of Ian's Couch that still exists somewhere in the video archives, maybe even on YouTube. But it wasn't really even Ian's Couch, to be truthful. But, like, that was the title of the video. And I watched that, and then it was like, oh, and Ian's the host of this nationally syndicated talk radio show called Free Talk Live. I'm like, what is this? And then I popped over, and that's how I discovered Free Talk Live. Anyway, I'm sorry, Tim. Go ahead.
No, well, for sure, I was listening by 2010 and 2011. I was working for a web hosting company doing customer support for the web hosting company overnight, third shift in Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I would listen, you know, on the in-between because most of the support was done over chat or email, you know, through a ticketing system, some of it over the phone.
Sure.
But, yeah, it was like a seven-night-a-week thing. I would listen live every night. I remember the drama with Porkfest, where they did not want Ian to come in, and I guess they were checking into trunks and all of this nonsense.
Yeah, that's happened here before. You know,
I thought that was what's his name, the crying Nazi.
Oh yeah, that's him too. Ian is a controversial figure, along with Canwell, just in different ways.
Well, at that web host, it was an interesting work environment. Never quite experienced anything like it in my life. It was in downtown Phoenix. I think it was on Central. I forget if that was an avenue or a street. Doesn't matter. I think we were on the third or fifth floor. Can't remember. And so I was working there overnight, and I would go downstairs in the elevator and go across the street to the Circle K to get, you know, cigars on my break. I would have a mandatory hour-long break, which was ridiculous because I had to, you know, drive practically an hour home. And anyway, I was working there 10 hours. But I was walking back, and I see this guy following me. Not following me, but he's staring at me, like mad-dogging me from across the street, okay, across the crosswalk, from the direction that I'm about to cross in. And they sell these cherry-flavored cigars at the Circle K over there back in those days. I think it was 2011.
Strange things were afoot at the Circle K.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's when I first heard of Bitcoin on Free Talk Live. It was 2010, 2011. I was working at Brinkster web host. And so this guy sees me open the cigar case. So he thinks I'm opening a marker. And, of course, I have no idea what this guy's thinking. And apparently somebody had drawn wash me with their finger on the back of his car. And he was visiting the United States from Africa somewhere. And so he had called the police, and all of a sudden, you know, I see his helicopter up above.
Oh, wow.
And, yep, I'm walking back, you know. I said hello to the guy, and he just gave me a wicked stare, didn't say a word to me. So I see the helicopter shines its lights down on me. So I give it the finger. And no sooner had I given the helicopter the finger, I don't know if it was 3 squad cars, but I feel like it was 5 squad cars, not all at once. I think at first it was 2, then it was 3, then it was 5. They pulled up like within 10 to 20 seconds after I gave the finger to the helicopter.
Oh, wow.
And then what happened?
Yep. So they're telling me to sit down and shut up because I'm going on and on. And then this guy walks up that I had seen giving me the evil eye. And he's like, that's the guy. That's the guy. I saw him walk to my car. And he opened his marker, which is in his pocket. It's the cigar. He opened his marker that's in his pocket. And he proceeded to write on my car, wash me. And so they're telling me to sit down and shut up. They go over and look, and they're like, it looks like somebody wrote wash me with their finger in the dust. And so like, they're like, you did it, didn't you? I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm like, this guy said I used a marker, and he saw me open my cigar, which is in my pocket. And they had patted me down, and they felt a one hitter, you know, because I was smoking a spice at the time, which I was buying from one of my coworkers, whose manufacturer, who is Jordanian, and who traveled back and forth to Jordan, which is one of the many reasons I have Jewish friends, Muslim friends from all over the world.
Hey, Tim, thanks for the call, man. We appreciate you. 603-283-6160. More Free Talk Live is coming up. More of your calls, and we've got more stories. Stay tuned.
I've been told no in many different ways.
I give you an order and you're going to obey it.
Well, George, you can go this way.
You can't do that and you have to leave here.
You cannot bring Simon to their rally.
Walk with me.
Well, I'm comfortable here, actually.
Whoa, excuse me.
Who do you think
excuse
you are?
Excuse me.
There is no video and audio allowed in this office.
No, I have work today. This is...
You ain't going to make it.
Wait.
Now.
Wait a minute.
Hey! Oh my God! Unbelievable!
Why are you running from me?
Because you scared me.
What am I being detained for?
You're being served.
What is this?
You're being served.
What is this?
Bureaucrats have a funny way of telling people no.
That's the sound of the men working on the chain.
Derek Jay's Victimless Crime Spree. You can order your copy of the Director's Cut DVD now at victimlesscrimespree.com.
Yes, come on and listen to Free Talk Live. Yeah, we are live every Saturday night.
Saturday Night Live, ladies and gentlemen, this is Free Talk Live.
From 7 p.m. until 10 p.m. Eastern Time. If you're hearing this show outside of those hours and you want to call, please call between 7 and 10 p.m. Eastern Time. So, yep. Some of our radio stations will carry either the whole program or part of the program outside of those hours as a replay or something to, you know, fill in, you know, time between their next show and that kind of a thing. So if you want to call and participate, you must call between 7 and 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And we appreciate you listening, of course. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the captain.
Riley.
And Pigless Mountaineer.
The telephone number 603-283-6160. We've been talking about all sorts of things tonight. We've really just sort of been...
All sorts.
You know, tangents here and callers there. And, well, this will be no different. Let's go to Schroeder calling from his mom's basement in California. You're on Free Talk Live. Schroeder?
Schroeder, can you hear me?
Schroeder, can you hear me?
Schroeder going once.
Schroeder going twice. And it's gone. All right. It's just like the
you
money.
You know, that's my favorite call of his ever.
It's just like,
yeah,
like the money on South Park. And yeah. It's gone.
And it's gone.
Before we go on, Free Talk Live is brought to you by ForkFest, happening June 13th through the 16th at Rogers Campground. That's with an R, not like a bunch of L's. Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. ForkFest is a fork of the Porcupine Freedom Festival. ForkFest, however, is decentralized, so there's no ticket cost and no one is in charge. For more information and to connect with other attendees, you can visit the unofficial website, forkfest.party. That's forkfest.party. Sorry about the rolling of the R there. I like to do that because I'm
Rogers.
Because I allow myself to do it. It's a skill that, I don't remember, man, I'm in grade school or something, and I think there was somebody was like learning Spanish or something. They were like, we had to do this, right? You know, to like, you know, roll the R's or whatever to learn Spanish. And I'm like,
that's true.
I don't know how to do that. And she's like, it's easy. I'll show you. And like, I couldn't get it for the longest time. So I went home and I practiced for a couple of weeks or something, you know, and finally,
now you don't speak Spanish. Finally, so you got to find a way to fit it into conversation.
Yeah, right. I never learned Spanish. I still haven't. And so, yeah, you know, rolling the R's is something that I learned how to do, but have no practical use for.
Except for when you use it on the radio to pronounce Rogers.
That's a good way to do it.
Or the phone is ringing.
Yeah.
You know, that's a really effective one because it does ring like that.
It does. Okay. Ring. Hello. Ring. What is that? Sesame Street? Those little weird alien creatures. Yeah. All right. Anyway, 603-283-6160. We're going to, let's go to this nukes bit because.
Kind of the most important thing going on in the world right now is the possibility that all human life might extinguish itself at any moment. Because we decided that the best thing to do with all of our power was to hand it to the most psychopathic among us.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. and Mrs. America, guess who was the first country to use an atomic bomb?
I give up.
The United States.
I knew that.
The United
guess
States.
Guess who was the last country?
It was the first and last to use an atomic bomb.
Yeah.
We don't need to go there. We saw how many people died. It was horrifying.
Although, as a kid, one of my friends had a very fat mom. We called her the Atomic Mom.
Ah.
Because, you know, that mom would have bomb.
I would think she was really, really tiny.
No. No, she was large as a bomb. Gonna leave a crater.
Oh, no.
We were horrible children. Mm. This from express.co.uk. NATO fighter jets get green light to carry nukes as tension with Russia soars. The F-35A Joint Strike Fighter, they're not dropping a bunch of joints on you, has been certified to carry thermonuclear weapons as tensions between Russia and NATO hit a breaking point. Now, first of all, I'm of the opinion that they've been carrying nukes this whole time. Now, I have no evidence for that. I just say that because I find it very unlikely that a thing built to carry a nuke isn't.
Well, so they actually have dual use. So that they are specifically designed to carry both traditional and nuclear payloads.
I see.
So that the same missile launcher can, in fact, do either.
All right. Well, let's get into this a little bit. A NATO stealth fighter has been certified to carry nukes, including the terrifying B-61-12 thermonuclear gravity bomb, as tensions between NATO and Russia hit a boiling point. The F-35A Joint Strike Fighter has become the first stealth fighter of its class to be green-lit to carry nuclear weapons.
And by boiling point, they mean it's becoming increasingly obvious that Ukraine never had a chance of winning this. And NATO doesn't want to have lost this.
No, they don't. They want to give people the illusion that they're still the strength and the dominant power in the world.
Yeah.
What does NATO stand for? North American Treaty Organization?
North Atlantic. Yeah. North Atlantic Trade Organization, which is why it's so important that we include, you know, Japan as a member.
I think I've tried this before, and I think I had the Northern Egregious Atlantic Treaty Organizations.
So that we could spell it more accurate.
So we could spell it NATO.
That would be a better way to spell it.
Yeah, and that was one of the things that the Stain of the Union was bragging about. Like, yeah, we just got Sweden into NATO. It's like,
wow, congratulations.
Oh, you mean these disastrous military alliances that are exactly how we got into the last two world wars?
It's just ridiculous. And we keep falling for it for some stupid reason. What do we think? Our saviors come back and we keep killing each other?
Right?
It's just silly.
And we already had a scare on this. Like, there was already a Ukrainian explosion in Poland that the Ukrainians, of course, blamed on the Russians. So why? Why in the name of God are you putting nuclear weapons on a hair trigger? This is insane.
It is insane. It's really dangerous.
And in case someone out there is like, well, you know, it's not that bad. So there's this thing that can happen where you blow up enough nuclear bombs that it launches so much dust into the air that all of the plants on the planet die from lack of sunlight. That is what we are talking about happening here.
And that is absolutely horrifying. I know that in 1814, there was a volcanic eruption that really affected the winters here in the Northeast United States. It was known as the summer... Or the summer that froze to death, or something like that. It was 1816, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about that kind of raw power in a weapon that mankind has produced to kill each other with.
Yeah. And the thing about nukes, no one can have just one.
No.
Like, once
they're like,
this.
They're like Lay's potato chips.
They are. They are, in fact, the evil Lay's potato chip of bombs. But yeah, once one of these things goes off, they have automated systems to fire others.
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah,
and crazy. It's really scary what
like that,
we've become.
That's why they have this thing where they like let each other know, hey, I'm going to be doing some nuclear testing over here at this time. Please don't accidentally end the world so that these automated systems don't just, you know, kill everyone on Earth.
I'm trying to remember the name of the program. It was early or late 70s. Program, and it starred I think both Alan Hale and who the hell played Gilligan, but they, instead of being Gilligan and Skipper, they were these two guys on a spaceship accidentally. So they were just like workers, and they were like loading this spaceship with whatever it needed to go on its mission or whatever. And they were like, you know, they're yelling at each other, not yelling, but like checking with each other, like, yeah, do you got this? Yep, check. Got that? Okay. Have you loaded all the breakfast? Breakfast, check. You know, and lunch, lunch. And instead of lunch, he hits the launch button.
Oh no!
And so, like, that's what I remember now of that show. I apply that to what you're saying with the nuclear bombs. An accidental launch is probably the most likely to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, in a nuke, if you are carrying nukes, the worst thing you want to do is have to use those weapons. And it's really sad that we've come to this point where we feel like. Where this organization of strangers feels like they have to put nukes on aircraft because they're afraid or angry that another person might use them, I guess.
And it's nothing like that.
No.
Like, if Russia takes over Ukraine, who cares? Who cares? Like, I'm sorry to be heartless about this, but I don't care if Kiev or Moscow runs Ukraine. It does not matter. What matters to me is whether the plants that I'm going to eat get sunlight.
Yeah.
I agree.
That's what matters. I mean, for crying out loud, this is on the other side of the planet.
Right. We have a choice.
This isn't an American interest. This isn't an existential threat.
No, it's not.
And, like, it is debatable whether you should consider using nuclear weapons in the case of an existential threat.
Yeah.
And let me be perfectly clear about this. I would rather we pay our taxes to Moscow than end the human species. Now, I understand if there are people that disagree with me on that one. But at least it's worth a conversation. Whereas this, they don't have any chance whatsoever of coming here.
That's a bold move, Cotton.
It's definitely an act of war, and it's really an act of we're ready to annihilate whoever touches us.
The F-35A Joint Strike Fighter has become the first stealth fighter of its class to be greenlit to carry nukes. A spokesperson for the F-35 Joint Program Office told this author, the F-35A is the first fifth-generation nuclear-capable aircraft ever and the first new platform, fighter or bomber, to achieve this status since the early 1990s. This F-35 nuclear certification effort culminates 10-plus years of intense effort across the nuclear enterprise, which consists of 16 different government and industry stakeholders. They added, the F-35A achieved nuclear certification ahead of schedule, providing U.S. and NATO with a critical capability that supports U.S. extended deterrence commitments earlier than anticipated. I just want to say that again, because they're using words that aren't what they really mean.
Right.
U.S. extended deterrence commitments. What do you suppose that means? Bombing people.
Yeah.
That's what that means. It's like a kinetic military action.
Oh, right? You mean war?
Bombing people, right? Yeah, so basically war. Yeah, basically war.
Yeah.
When they use these large multisyllabic words, you have to sort of go, well, okay,
they're trying
the U.S.
to hide
means the United States.
Obviously.
Extended means ongoing, right? Like, yeah. It didn't stop when everybody thought it would, so ongoing. Deterrence. It sounds like the use of force to me. And then commitments. They're committed to deterring the force. So U.S. extended deterrence commitments. War.
Yeah.
Warlike stuff without declaring war.
If anyone has never seen Dr. Strangelove, I really suggest that you watch it. And for no other reason than this, there's this moment where the general talks about how we've war gamed it out and we're talking about this many deaths, like tops, this many American deaths, and we could totally wipe out all of Russia. We need to do the first strike. And then, you know, spoiler alert, close your ears if you really want the twist ending. It turns out that there's a doomsday device that goes off if you drop a nuclear bomb.
Oh.
So there's that. But really, this is how these people think.
Yeah.
Well, sure. Yeah. I mean, it would result in the death of like probably 20 million Americans.
The ends justify the means. Peakless.
But we feel that's an acceptable loss.
Of course, an acceptable loss.
Because right now, you know, there's only two other empires keeping America from ruling the earth, and we feel that losing like even a third of you is pretty cheap for running the planet.
Yeah.
And I don't want it to be lost on our listeners, but it bears repeating. Government, no matter where you live, where you are in the world, government, your whatever government controls the land that you are on, they are deciding whether or not the death of you is acceptable or not to their political desires.
Right.
They're deciding that right now. They've decided it a billion times already, and they're going to decide it again. The question is whether or not you're going to be one of the casualties.
Yeah. And in case you're thinking, oh, well, that's those dirty Democrats. No, it isn't.
It's the Republicans, too.
No, none of this could have happened without both parties working together for the one thing that they can agree on, more power for themselves and more death for all of us.
Yep. Oh, not to mention living off of us, leeching.
Yeah,
of course.
Off of us, all of us.
We are their slaves, we're their tax cattle. We are the things that they will milk and destroy.
They live at the expense of everyone else.
Yeah.
So, you know, like when you own a coffee shop or something like that, and the cops come in and you give them free coffee and donuts. Why? Why do you do that? They already live at the expense of everybody else. Their paychecks are taken from the pockets of everybody else. Why would you want to continue to give them more free crap?
These people are protecting our neighborhoods, Captain. We need to give them something.
The Donut Abuse Resistance Education Program?
That works, too. Definitely.
Dare keep cops off donuts.
Yeah, and really it's the same thing all the way up and all the way down. You decided that a special group of people gets to get away with evil. And no matter what kind of absolute comic book super villainy they decide to engage in, that is good.
I'm not saying that every cop is bad. And I don't think any of us in this room, I can't speak for everybody in this room, but I don't think any of us in this room are. I think there are very good people who join the system thinking they can do some good.
I am willing to say that every cop is bad, and I can tell you why. Because the ones who are good are providing cover for the ones who are bad.
Why would you, how did you draw that conclusion?
Oh, absolutely. So if you are a decent human being and you are somehow managing not to horribly punish peaceful people for being peaceful and doing things that are statutory violations but don't actually harm anybody, in that extremely unlikely situation, because I've never found it actually happening, then you're just making the maniacs look good.
Ah, okay, I see your point.
Yeah, and now the more likely situation is you're not a corrupt cop, you're not a racist cop, but your job is, well, yeah, I have to give 100 tickets a month. Oh, so people who were doing nothing to anybody, but they were, what, using up our collective fuel resources by driving at 60 miles an hour instead of 55 miles an hour?
Or taking a plant that's not harming anybody?
Yeah.
I mean,
those people,
seriously.
Peaceful people, you are going to stop them, make them late for everything that they're about to go do, you know, productive human behavior, and then you're going to extract wealth from them, and in the process, kind of scare the crap out of them.
But drugs aren't productive.
Like, those are the good ones.
Well, yeah, and the other thing about the police department, if you will, the organization known as police, wherever you may be, is that it is impossible for you to be a principled person and be a member of the police.
Yeah.
You will be put in a position to compromise your principles, and you will be forced to compromise your principles. And then you wonder why so many police beat their spouse or become raging alcoholics and drug addicts. You wonder why they come around to, like, well, if all this corruption is going on and I'm part of this thing that is corrupt, then I might as well do participate in some corruption too.
Yeah.
And now you've turned somebody who went in for what I would call noble intent. Right. They're like, I want to make a difference in my community. I want to be a good friend. I want to help out. And so they join what turns them into an a-hole.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The organization, it's impossible for you to remain a principled person and be a police officer because you have to enforce unjust laws.
Yeah. That's really that simple.
That's really the bottom line. So to your point, Riley, yes, people get involved. Again, noble intent, right?
Yep.
People want to do something right. You know, they grew up thinking, you know, oh, this is the thing I can do. It's I'm serving the community or whatever, right? And we've talked to former police here on this show and former military too, who like went in and realized what was going on. Like, yeah, I just realized that like I was compromising my principles as a person. And so I got out.
Yeah. And a lot of them, once they start realizing that they're compromising, they hedge to themselves. They sort of like, well, I mean, I did this, but most of what I'm doing is good.
Right,
and most of
right.
what I'm doing is so important that we could not live without it. And actually, no, we absolutely could. You are enforcing a monopoly of protection services.
And that's
that
the thing,
is all.
And that's the thing to remember, is that the police force is a monopoly.
Yeah.
They are the monopoly on protection in America.
Yeah. And, well, what would you do without police? Here's exactly what I would do without police. Number one, I would protect myself. Number two, I would protect my friends. Number three, we would form protection agencies that competed voluntarily, so that when this protection agency or that protective agency does weird things like blows up your house trying to catch a mugger, or, you know, just slaughters black people in the street, or, you know, whatever kind of horrible behavior, you know, steals people's money for no real reason.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When they do that, you stop paying them and you pay their competitors instead.
Right.
And then their competitors have all of the money. And they just either stop doing this terrible stuff, or they stop having a job.
Yeah. Government, police, politicians, city workers, you know, parks department people,
you know, all of the organizations that fall under government, quote unquote, are all monopolies. Every one of them. That is to say, you cannot compete in those areas. They're the only services that you can't fire. And yeah. be like, well, you gotta vote them out. Well, how'd they get in? Yeah. You voted them in.
And people put right? them
so,
there.
Like, no, you're not gonna vote them out because these agencies stay regardless of who the rotating person is in the chair.
Yep.
In the throne of your community or, you know, of your nation. It's the chair that's the problem, not the person sitting in it. A good person cannot sit in the chair without becoming unprincipled.
Yeah. That's true. And it's really hard, especially in the system, to be a good person because eventually you're going to lose your principles.
Right.
No,
right. I mean, you know,
hard.
They always
it's
call
impossible,
it,
in my opinion. Like, yeah, I don't think it's possible.
It's impossible. I mean, they always say, oh, well, it's just a few bad apples. Well, guess what a few bad apples
they
does?
They spoil the bunch.
Right. Every time, without exception, yeah. they create a culture where they have separated themselves from ordinary human beings. We are a different kind of people than them.
Yep.
Therefore, we are afforded rights that they are not afforded. We are better than them, and they just ought to appreciate more what we're doing for them. Well, I got news for you. You're not doing anything for me. You're not doing anything for me except stopping competition in that same realm. And I'll tell you what, if we had competition in security services, we wouldn't have an investigative agency that throws away, oh, I'm sorry, loses the Epstein client list.
How did that happen?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know where it went. You know, it was in the safe. We had it. And then it's just gone.
We don't even know. It was on a hard drive that we don't know what happened to.
Yeah, no, it definitely wasn't the fact that all of the people in power on that list are their superiors and the ones that they want to stay in power. That has nothing to do with it. No, in a situation with competition, that wouldn't occur. Or at the least, that wouldn't be the norm.
And it's gone.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. What's her name? Maxwell?
Yeah, Ghislaine. Ghislaine Guillaume.
Whatever. Maxwell, the only person everybody convicted of trafficking minors to... Question mark?
Yeah, she trafficked minors, not to anybody. Just
trafficked them.
Just trafficked them.
They didn't go anywhere, or well, they had to have gone somewhere, otherwise they couldn't get her for trafficking. But where did they go?
Yeah, no one ordered them, no one received them, but you know, they were delivered for money. And don't ask whose money. Ain't that convenient for the powers that be?
Very convenient.
Yeah.
Very convenient indeed.
And the reason that we will never get to the bottom of this is because this blackmail network is what runs the world. It's a blackmail network because that's the only thing they can do instead of trusting each other, because that's what happens when you're a monster. You can't trust anyone and you can't be trusted by anyone, but you can have blackmail on them and they can have blackmail on you. And in their world, that's just as good.
Oh, yeah.
603-283-6160 is the phone number if you'd like to join in the conversation tonight here at Free Talk Live. Still to come, I want to talk about the SEC and Shapeshift. What's going on with those guys? It's Free Talk Live. Hour number 3 is coming up.
Free Talk Live.
The crown of shame continues here on the Saturday night edition of Free Talk Live. It's almost falling off your head. Like, the only reason it's kind of staying on is I think one of the corners was stuck under the headphone itself. That's sort of, you know, attached to your head. So, yeah, for those of you wondering what we're talking about, Peakless Mountaineer is wearing an upside-down Burger King crown.
Of shame.
Of shame, right. This is the official Free Talk Live crown of shame because we don't have the budget to make one. We just took one from somewhere else, turned it upside down, and now it's the Free Talk Live official crown of shame.
There you go.
Peakless is wearing it. Why?
Because I was late yet again.
Okay. All right. So there we go. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the captain.
Riley.
And Peakless Mountaineer.
There you go. The telephone number 603-283-6160. Before we go on, I want to say thanks to Jake Leonard, who is a, what is he, Jake? Jake Leonard is a platinum amplifier.
I don't even know what that means. Nice. What does that mean? Let's see. Silver is five. Gold is
$25
I think
a
that's
month.
Anything.
$25 a month. Yeah. No.
I thought it was anything over $20 was platinum.
No, 25 is platinum.
No, there are some ridiculous levels. Like if there's somebody out there that like super loves this show and wants to give like $500 a month or something like that, there's a level for that.
Ooh.
Yeah. Over at amps.freetalklive.com. Jake Leonard, however, is giving $25 a month. He's a platinum level amplifier. Why would anyone give us money per month to do this show? Well, that's not why you're giving. You're giving it to get this show on more radio stations, because that's what we do. If you enjoy the message of peace, freedom, prosperity that we bring here on Free Talk Live, if you enjoy the hosts, the co-hosts, the callers, please consider becoming an amplifier. We're on somewhere around 200 stations right now. We could be on 250, 300 stations, not out of the question. It's all up to you. You do get some benefits for becoming an amplifier, some little perks and things like that. But that's not why you should amp. You should amp because you feel that spreading the message of freedom is so important that you want to help us get onto more radio stations. So thank you, Jake Leonard, for your contribution. We appreciate you. Visit amps.freetalklive.com. to become an amplifier now. All right. On today's episode of As the Crypto World Turns, that's literally the headline from what appears to be the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission's website. Statement from Commissioner Hester M. Pierce and Commissioner Mark T. Ueda. March 5th, 2024. The Commission's enforcement action against Shapeshift is the latest installment in the serial drama of the Commission's poorly conceived crypto policy. The current episode recounts the take of an early innovator in the market for crypto assets. In August 2014, Shapeshift AG started an online platform that facilitated trading in crypto assets. Shapeshift sold from its own inventory, thus acting as a counterparty to both the buyer and seller, and generated revenue on the spread, the difference between its cost to acquire the crypto asset and the price at which it sold the acquired asset. Shapeshift operated this way for more than 6 years before announcing in January 2021 that it would be changing its business model. For those of you who don't know, they sort of became a DAO.
Decentralized, right? Autonomous, yes. Organization.
Moved out of the U.S.
A DAO, not the DAO.
Right, yes.
Yeah.
Customers would no longer be able to exchange crypto assets directly through the platform, and Shapeshift would no longer act as the counterparty to any customer transactions. Before this change, the platform traded in at least 79 crypto assets, facilitated as many as 20,000 daily transactions. So again, 2014, right? 2021 at the latest, when they changed their business model.
Mm-hmm.
The Commission's order instituting proceedings finds that Shapeshift violated Section 15A of the Securities Exchange Act of 1934 because it should have registered as a securities dealer.
Oh.
The Securities Exchange Act defines a dealer as any person engaged in the business of buying and selling securities for such person's own account, through a broker or otherwise.
You should have known that we would classify this new technology as a security. I mean, we didn't, which is why, you know, for example, the commodities regulators said, no, this is definitely a commodity. But you should have known that it was also a security, and therefore that you had to fill out this paperwork.
This statement continues. Shapeshift meets this definition, according to the Commission, because the crypto assets offered by Shapeshift included those that were offered and sold as investment contracts and therefore securities under SEC versus W.J. Howey Co. 328 U.S. 293 1946. The Commission's order, however, fails to identify which crypto assets were investment contracts and provides no explanation for its conclusion.
Well, no, that would be regulatory clarity.
In sum, Shapeshift is in trouble because the Commission, nearly 10 years after Shapeshift's platform started trading and more than 3 years after it changed its business model, now contends that some
unidentified number of the 79 crypto assets it traded between 2014 and 2021 were investment contracts without explaining why.
Oh.
Notably, the commission does not allege any harm.
Well, of course not.
Shapeshift and its customers voluntarily transacted, and the order nowhere alleges that Shapeshift defrauded its customers. This enforcement action underscores the adverse consequences of the commission's approach to regulation in the crypto space and adds to the ambiguity that hangs over the crypto world. This is what you were getting at, Peekless.
Mm-hmm.
It is entirely unclear how Shapeshift was to discern that the commission would consider crypto assets generally, and any crypto asset in particular, a security in the form of an investment contract. Even now, 10 years on, it's hardly more discernible. But perhaps that ambiguity is exactly the result the commission wants. Now, the next person who comes up with an idea for building something to help people buy or sell crypto will think twice. Why spend time and effort creating something only to face an enforcement action 10 years later? The commission's mantra in such situations, just come in and register.
Is manifestly register.
Oh, it's totally
unsatisfying.
Easy. It's totally
they want
easy.
Everyone to register so they can track wealth wherever it goes. They want to know who the big players are so they can steal money from them.
If only their malice was that contained. Like, yes, they do want to register everything to track and control everything. But no, the people who have immense legal teams, they have literally sued the SEC for how difficult it is to do this.
Right.
Saying, no, it's not just difficult. It is literally impossible with a team of lawyers to do what you're telling us to do.
They give a pretty good example here. Future Shapeshift or crypto company calling up the SEC. Hello, FCC. I would like to register as a dealer. The SEC goes, why? And the new company goes, because I think some of the assets that I plan to deal might be deemed at some point by the SEC to be securities. And the SEC says, which ones? And the new crypto company says, I'm not sure because I can't really understand what criteria you use to decide whether a token offering is a securities transaction, and if it is, whether the token that was the subject of the investment contract remains a security in secondary market transactions. The SEC says, well, if you don't know whether you're dealing in securities, you can't register. And by the way, if some of the assets you're dealing in are not securities, you also can't register.
If some of the assets you're dealing in are not securities, you can't register?
That's what the SEC says.
Wow.
That's insane.
That is astonishing.
Future crypto business. So, right, can you help us think through which assets are securities? The SEC, no. We suggest that you read the 2017 Dow report, and it will be all clear to you. You can also look at our enforcement actions if you want. Future crypto company. I read it. And I've read about your enforcement actions. I still have questions. The SEC, hire a lawyer. The future crypto company, I did, and the lawyer has even more questions than I did. The SEC says, sorry, we can't help any more than we already have. We don't give legal advice.
Mm. Oh, wow.
And
how convenient.
It's so convenient for these people in government to control you.
Now, I'll tell you why I love this, and I do. Because if you want to do something like Shapeshift, you're right. You cannot have an ordinary company.
Right.
You simply cannot. You cannot register a corporation and perform that service. What you can do is what they did, a decentralized autonomous organization.
It's the only thing you can do.
Yeah. Because now, 10 years later, when they decide to come after your decentralized autonomous organization, good luck.
Right.
Like, you can't identify any of these people. They're nowhere and nothing because it's whoever wants to participate at a given time. There's a level of anonymity that's provided by a decentralized autonomous organization that means that your dinosaur method of legislation is completely inept.
And it really is.
Yeah. Turns out these things that were designed for a century ago don't actually work. But, you know, when your job is intimidating people, you don't need them to actually be able to get out of the intimidation. No, you just need to say, well, more. Give us more and bribe us. That way we don't look twice at your particular thing, because I'm sure if we look at it, we'll find that it's not okay.
Yes, government works on, like, everything works by intimidation.
Yeah.
Governments operate the same way terrorists operate. Mark Edge has said this on the show. Governments operate the same way terrorists operate. And we see this every single day dealing with crypto.
Yeah. Yeah, and a lot of people are like, well, the American system is so much better because if you go somewhere else, you'll have to bribe all the police officers. And it's like, no, it's all the same.
It is all the same.
We just have a slightly different way of bribing all of our officials. That's all.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
All right. There's a little bit more to this article. We could talk more about this, but we also have, I believe this is Bad Slave on hold. Bad Slave, you're on Free Talk Live. Bad Slave?
Oh, that's weird. So hey, I see his, there we go.
There we go. Are you with us?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
There we go.
There you go. You're on Free Talk Live. We can hear you all as well. What's on your mind?
Well, you guys were talking about the atomic bomb, you know, conundrum.
Yep.
And
it's one way to put it.
I want to kind of expand that to something that I think might even be a bigger threat. You know, because of the what did they call it? Where the fact of atomic bombs is deterrent itself.
Oh, but mutually assured destruction.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to think of. Mm. But anyways, you know, beyond that, we have this. This worldwide, you know, effort to kill food production.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to get worse, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that's one of the worst things about the conflict in Ukraine is because that is like the breadbasket for the world right there.
Yeah.
Like, that is Eurasia's largest... That is Eurasia's largest arable land... area, and now we're not gonna be, you know, getting bread from there because everyone's shooting each other there.
That's not good.
No,
I mean,
no, like, no, and this is something that's worth a lot of attention because, like, right now, the biggest farmland owner in America is Bill Gates, and that man is up to no good in a number of ways.
I agree. Well, we've got the Dutch farmers, we've got, you know, Irish, you know, killing off livestock in Ireland. We've got, the slow deterioration of the quality of meat production in America. We have so many, you know, look what they're doing with the Amish farmer, Miller.
Oh, yeah.
No, I hadn't heard about that one.
Oh, yeah, you have. They're just persecuting the man for selling raw milk.
Oh, that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
They've been persecuting him for a long time.
Yeah, they continue to do so. They claim that, and I'm trying to remember the exact location. So this guy is in Pennsylvania, and they claim that, like, somebody in, like, Michigan drank some, you know, tainted milk that they got from him. Well, how did it get to Michigan, first of all?
It wasn't Michigan. It was New York, I think.
Oh, New York, even. Okay.
But, oh, okay.
Well, that's closer.
That explains it.
Yeah.
And New York's like the most heavily regulated place on earth.
But still, he did the thing that he tried to protect himself in the only way he could. He couldn't form a corporation for legal protection, so he instead formed a private membership association, a PMA, or a private club, if you will, for people who wanted to voluntarily join and get his product.
There have been no, contamination, shown anywhere, I don't think. I don't know whether that I think it was a listeria and infection or something like that. It's just, you know, this is being broadly promoted.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of course
and
it
the
is.
And the Dutch farmers and the German farmers now, like that has absolutely and the cattle in Ireland, all of this has everything to do with this utterly nonsensical climate change agenda. Like, all of this has to do with, like, oh, well, the weather gods are angry that you drive an SUV.
We need to appease the weather gods and get back to pre-industrial levels.
Yeah, never mind the fact that all of their models continually fail. Never mind the fact that none of their models include what the other planet's temperatures are, which, newsflash, they're all going up.
Yeah.
No, all of this has to do with you are the carbon that they want to eliminate. And unfortunately, the people in Europe are okay with the fact that, like, everything that they do to feed themselves will be regulated, and they're okay with that until now.
What do you think is going to happen, folks, when there's actually an achievement of zero carbon dioxide, penetration. I mean, the fact is carbon dioxide is what makes stuff grow.
Yeah. Yeah, it's what makes plants grow. It is literally the mark of human technology. When humans figured out fire is when we increased our carbon footprint. And our ability to feed ourselves has always been due to our ability to produce carbon. So if That's you want right. to end the production of carbon, you want to end human life.
And that's what people don't understand.
Yeah. And if you want us to go to like a net zero carbon production, you literally want our technology to go back to the Dark Ages. And spoiler alert, that's what they're aiming for.
That technology probably actually has the capacity of zeroing out carbon dioxide in the atmosphere.
Oh, yeah, that's the thing. All of this fades innovation, right? So, like, there's this Malthusian belief that our ability to produce food will never meet up with our ability to increase our population, which is true if you don't realize that humans create things. We create new ways of doing things. And, yeah, if our ability to produce carbon ever gets so problematic that it starts to threaten us, then we will focus on that problem and figure out how to pull carbon back out of the atmosphere. But the truth is, it's not an actual problem.
That's right.
Yeah, but it's a great excuse for world government, because it's a problem that is too big for any small group of people to solve.
It needs millions of people and billions of people to cooperate around the world to achieve net zero.
Yeah, oh, it just happens to be that my dream of dominating every life on Earth happens to be the only solution to the thing I'm telling you is happening.
Your thoughts, Bad Slave?
Yeah, thank you very much for taking my call.
Hey, thanks for calling, man. We appreciate you. Hope to talk to you again soon. 603-283-6160 is the number if you would like to join us here on Free Talk Live. Just a couple bits more from this bit from the SEC on Shapeshift. This scene that we went through, the scenario where the SEC and some new crypto company is having a discussion about how to identify what is or isn't a security. That scene is by no means hypothetical. Industry participants have consistently expressed concern that they need clarity on which crypto assets are securities. The calls for clarity will only increase in response to last month's expansion of the definition of dealer to reach active liquidity providers. In adopting the rule, the commission acknowledged that the new category of dealers might include certain crypto market participants. Might. Nice of them. People are right now trying to figure out whether they have to register as dealers, and if so, which assets they can handle in the registered entity. To do so, they need to understand whether the assets for which they provide liquidity are securities. The fiction that this has been done is undermined by the commission's failure to state which specific assets in the cases before us are securities. The standards are so opaque and arbitrary that the commission itself is unwilling to stand by its own analysis. If Case-by-case determination is possible. We respectfully request that the commission show its work. The environment we have created for the crypto asset markets, especially as it relates to secondary trading, is untenable. It exposes well-meaning entrepreneurs to a regulatory sword of Damocles. Cases like this do not protect investors. They intimidate innovators and entrepreneurs. We respectfully dissent.
Yeah. And any situation where you have too many laws to be followed is where you have no real system of law. What you actually have is a system of favoritism of who gets ignored for not following the laws.
Right. So we saw this with FTX.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And FTX still exists, and a big part of that is because Sam Bankman-Fried was a very, very well-connected man.
Yeah, well, and he donated to, you know, both of the two largest parties.
Exactly. A tremendous amount of money. Dark money to the Republicans because you don't want to get caught giving them money. Yeah. And light money to the Democrats to say, boy, what a good boy am I.
Oh, yes.
And yet somebody like Odyssey, right, has to eliminate their entire business, actually. 603-283-6160. The final half hour of Free Talk Live is still to come. Don't go anywhere. We've got more in store for you. Welcome back. Thank you for tuning in, and thank you for listening to Free Talk Live. We're coming to you live tonight from the studio. The telephone number is 603-283-6160. In the studio, it's myself, the Reverend Captain Kickass, joining me.
Riley.
And Pickless Mountaineer.
Let's just go right away to your calls and thoughts. We have the infamous Mr. David Ridley on with us.
You can never go too quickly to Ridley.
You can never go too quickly to Ridley.
Is that your new slogan?
It sounds better than my song, I guess. But
yeah, but your song is also infamous, so.
Infamous? Infamous?
So, are you guys familiar with Silver Dave?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
So, you know, like we have River Dave, we have Ridley Dave, and we also have Silver Dave. Oh, there's a lot of Daves.
Wow, just a collection of Daves.
I know, Dave.
But
there's actually...
So he...
Go ahead.
He is a liberty activist in Ware or Henniker, New Hampshire. I'm not sure.
Yes.
Exactly.
I believe he has a retail location in Ware. It's spelled We Are, but it's pronounced Ware.
And he has a silver store. He was just a guest, I guess, this week or last on the Howie Carr show.
Cool.
Carr, for those not in the Northeast, he's probably the most important radio voice in the Northeast, or at least
that's
in
pretty
England.
Cool.
Super cool.
Yeah. So I guess Dave had been advertising on that show for some period before that, and that probably contributed to him being a guest. But I guess they had him on to talk about silver, like just to educate people about how to protect themselves against inflation and stuff like that. It's really nice.
His area
to have
of
that.
Expertise.
You know, that's right exactly up his alley, and I'm so glad to hear that his entrepreneurial spirit is carrying on. I know this past Pork Fest, he showed up and went around to, I don't know all the sites, but a bunch of them, and we're like, hey, if you let me hang my poster advertising my silver here, I will give you this little Pork Fest, you know, stamped piece of silver. And people were like, dude, hell yeah.
That's
why
so
wouldn't
cool.
I? And so I acquired some of those myself, the commemorative ones, at least, that were stamped Pork Fest. Just, you know, from there, like, he's just been expanding since then, and I'm looking forward to what he does in the future for sure.
Yeah, and just a quick update on the market. I would be surprised if silver didn't start rising right about now, because gold went up, and usually that's how it goes, is that the gold market goes, then the silver market goes.
Ridley?
Nothing to add, except I hope he mentioned the Free State Project. I'm still listening to the show. I haven't listened all the way through it. But
yeah, I sure hope so.
When you get publicity like that, you've got to bring up the action item. Move to New Hampshire. Get up here.
Right.
Amen to that. Any other thoughts?
That is all.
Hey, how can people find you if they want to learn more about whatever you're up to?
Oh, I get to sing the song. RiddleyReport.com.
All right. Boom. Thanks for the call, Dave. We appreciate you. Look forward to hearing from you again. Yeah, I'm with you on the silver. Like, we talk a lot about cryptocurrency here because, well, I come from tech, and so the reason I'm into cryptocurrency is because I have seen these tech curves before. Mm-hmm. When the launch of some new technology takes off, mm-hmm. You know, I saw color television sort of, you know, wow. become huge, right? It had been invented already, but like, black and white was still the most common, but I saw the transition where everybody got rid of their black and whites to color TV. I saw people get rid of their corded phones, home phones, landlines, and move to cordless phones. I saw the invention of the answering machine morph into the digital answering machine, or voicemail, as we all call it now. Mm-hmm. I saw then telephones sort of expanded after the breakup of Ma Bell, you know, when the government did one of the most correct things it's ever done in its existence and break up a monopoly.
And then all of a sudden, the most useful thing that they tend to do is to manage the problems that they themselves caused.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden we got a whole bunch of innovation. All of a sudden there's competing long distance companies and all your long distance rates went way the hell down. Then all of a sudden there's over the air things happening. Pagers were invented. Oh, my gosh. And then what happened? Oh, we got cell phones immediately after that. Then we got PDAs, all right, these personal data assistants, right? And then somebody got the bright idea to build the PDA right into the cell phone itself. And now we have smartphones, right? So I've seen these tech curves. I saw the curve of Boeing. I saw the curve of Microsoft. We're talking stocks now, right? Mm-hmm. Where like, if you missed out on that train, you really missed out. Mm-hmm. You could have got into either Boeing or Microsoft for hundreds of dollars, right, and became pretty darn wealthy as a result. But if you weren't on top of it, if you didn't know what a tech cycle was, right, if you weren't able to distinguish what a new rising technology might accomplish or recognize it as a tech curve, then you lost out. And I lost out on all those. I didn't get in mm-hmm. on any one of those bastards. And I mean, if I'd have just been a little more self-aware, I probably would be so wealthy I didn't have to even be here. I'd be doing something else. I'd be mm-hmm. like, you know, on the moon on my space base or something, you know. But no, I missed them all. I saw this cryptocurrency coming largely because of people on the internet and particularly Free Talk Live talking about it way back in the day. And I went and read the white paper. I started following some people on it. I'm like, oh, I'll be an SOB if I'm going to miss out on this one. So I got some. I didn't get enough.
No one ever did, did he?
Yeah, none of us ever did, Captain. Well, we did the best we can.
Yeah, and I'd say that at this point, we are sort of reaching the end of the beginning. Like, we are reaching the end of the phase where you can still just get involved in cryptocurrency and become fabulously wealthy. Now, the nice part of this is that it will never end that this has introduced the fact that savings hasn't worked in a century. Like, right. People have had to save in land and stocks and bonds and things that are not dollars because those dollars get worthless. But this introduces savings permanently. And that ability will exist for posterity, that you can just put away a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time, put it in your own wallet, own your own coins, make sure you have your seed phrase, your keys, your private keys.
Yep.
But you can just put a little away, and then when the time comes to retire, you can just live off of the little bit and a little bit that you put away without having had to, you know, get a stock market guy involved. Now, that's going to be permanent.
Yeah.
But right now is the very end of the opportunity to just become fabulously wealthy by getting in on this.
Well, and what you've described is the phrase that you will hear if you start reading cryptocurrency periodicals or articles, stuff like that. generational wealth,
mm-hmm.
right? That's something most people, when they hear that phrase, they think of, you know, like the Rockefellers or like, you know, some wealthy family that's owned this business, you know, the salt mine for, you know, it's been in the family for 100 years or whatever, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That's what most people think of generational wealth. Well, for the first time, any individual can expose themselves to generational wealth.
Yeah.
And that's the nice thing about cryptocurrency is when you expose yourself to more generational wealth, it gives you an opportunity to pass that generational wealth on to other people as best as you can.
Right.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that has never been available legally, because they will make specific laws of, no, if you put this away for your retirement, you have to take it out.
Right.
Oh, are you 71 and a half? Well, here's how much you got to take out. Here's how much you got to take out. We can't have you leaving that to your posterity. Right. We have to be able to retax it and tax it again. Whereas if you put it in your wallet, who's to know who has what where?
So circling back now to silver, because we were talking about Silver Dave and his interview, there will still be value in silver and gold, hard assets, diamonds, right? You know, all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Even these, like these collector coins, right? Where they're, you know, made of one of these precious metals, silver or gold or something, but like they're stamped with something, question mark. It's sports figure or some, mm-hmm. you know, commemorative thing or whatever, right? That adds value to just the metal itself, mm-hmm. right? When it's commemorative or it's stamped with something, depending on how rare it is and how many of them were actually printed in these coins. So there's always going to be value in holding on to silver and gold, stuff like that, particularly fractionals of those. I like goldbacks a lot because mm-hmm. of that, because it's spendable gold. I like fractional silver because it's small. You can carry around some quantity of it without it getting too heavy for you to transport, you know, that kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. And it's good for, you know, making smaller purchases, if you will. You're not going to show up at the closing of your real estate with a bag full of silver or gold, right?
Right.
But, like, you know, it still has its use, particularly in what people like to call SHTF situations, mm-hmm. right? So, you know, I don't know, nation collapse, dollar collapse, you know, even just run-of-the-mill natural disasters, mm-hmm. you know, earthquakes, right, wildfires, stuff like that. When you're cut off from civilization, when you're cut off from the just-in-time delivery of goods and services, because mm-hmm. it's rare that warehouses stock anything anymore, and if they do, it's out the door almost the minute it comes in.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good for those situations.
Yeah.
When you're out of power, you know, communications are at a premium. You want to be able to trade with people. Dollars aren't going to cut it.
Right.
Right. Cryptocurrency probably not going to do the trick.
Depends on how hard it hit the fan. But yeah.
But everyone will look at gold and silver and be like, okay, that's worth something.
Yeah, I got to tell you, for those situations, if we're talking about the grid is down situation, I have one currency that I believe in: bullets.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cartridges.
Yeah.
Oh, cartridges, wow. Filled with smokeless powder. Now, those are a beautiful trade item because you can use them for defense. You can use them to hunt. They last for a very long time. And it's very, very difficult to make in a situation like that.
As a whiskey drinker, I like to bring this up when people bring up bullets. It used to be back in the Old West, you would walk into the saloon and you would like the bartender to pour you some whiskey. And there's how much you want. I want a shot. And so they pour you a shot. And then you paid for it by handing them a bullet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was currency.
Right. Yep. This is I don't know if this is actually how it became called a shot, but that's the tale that I was told.
Yeah.
And I like it. It seems logical to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And on the subject of protecting your wealth, so day after tomorrow, the Bank Term Funding Program, which is something that absolutely no one in the world seems to know about except for, like, you know, deep inner plumbing wonks and me. The Bank Term Funding Program is what saved the bank collapse that had started last year from just being contagious throughout the entire system. It was a bailout that wasn't called a bailout. But in 2 days, that ends. So throughout the next year, we are going to see another, well, not even another bank collapse. It's actually the same collapse. It's just they postponed the rest of the collapse.
Oh.
So
they kicked the can down the road?
Yes. Yes. They didn't want to call it a bailout, and they didn't want to do this. Oh, it's the bank term funding program where we're just going to pretend all those assets are still worth what you paid for them. And we'll give you a loan based on the original value instead of what you could ever actually get for them. And that is over in 2 days. So we could soon or late see the continued collapse of the bank system. And mark my words, this will very simply end up with JP Morgan gobbling up a bunch of regional banks. But it will cause a lot of chaos, a lot of fear. And on the bright side, it will drive up the price of gold, silver, Bitcoin, and Dash.
It wouldn't surprise me if that happens. Wouldn't surprise me if we became rather wealthy off this either.
And frankly, we told you so. We've been telling you on this program to put some wealth away in these things that have no counterparty risk. Because that's, you don't have money in a bank, you have an account. And the bank might let you access it if they feel like it and are still there.
Yeah.
Whereas with gold, with silver, with Bitcoin, with Dash, with Monero, it's yours.
It is yours. You own it. You own the keys.
Yeah.
You own the crypto.
Yeah. Now, you could do the nonsensical thing of owning Bitcoin through an ETF.
Yeah.
In which case, you don't own Bitcoin.
Right.
You own a thing that's pegged to the price of Bitcoin. They own Bitcoin.
Like, I could see, somebody in the corporate world, right? Instead of doing dollar cost averaging, maybe they already bought some crypto, maybe they're holding some or whatever, but now all of a sudden, it's time for their annual benefits thing that all these corporations do every year. Mm-hmm. And maybe now your 401k provider is offering a cryptocurrency option. Right. And you got to fill out a piece of paper. How much of your, retirement that you're contributing, how much of your contribution, what percentage do you want to go toward this instead of all the other stuff? Right. Mm-hmm. Do you want to go aggressive? Do you want to go safe? Right. There's different variations of that when you get into this kind of stuff. So I could see certainly somebody holding both positions,
mm-hmm.
right? Both holding some actual cryptocurrency in their own cold storage where they own their keys and all that kind of thing, but also as part of their retirement planning, right? Their retirement fund engages in some cryptocurrency as well.
Oh, that's the wrong way to do it. So if you insist on using the legacy financial system to own cryptocurrency, the best thing you can do is own MicroStrategy stock, because basically the whole value of the stock is based on their crypto ownership.
Right, but with these 401ks that these corporations offer, you don't get to get that granular. Right, it's usually a generalized fund.
Because I know with a Roth IRA, you can definitely own stock through the money that you've put in there. And the best thing about that, you paid the taxes on the way in so that there's no taxes on the way out.
Well, and that depends on how you get them out, or when you get them out, I should say, not how.
Not if it's a Roth.
Maybe I'm thinking about traditional IRA.
Yeah, you're thinking about the traditional IRA. The traditional IRA, you get taxed on the way out. Whereas if you have a Roth IRA, you put some money in there, you buy some MicroStrategy stock because it's about to be old enough that it qualifies for the Fortune 500, at which point everyone's retirement fund will have a little bit of Bitcoin in it.
So usually what happens in a corporate environment is they offer some version of 401k matching. And so basically they say if you put $20 a month or $20 a paycheck into your 401k, they'll match that and they'll put another 20 in for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then they give you, it's usually a provider, not a choice of providers, a 401k provider. And then you have to go aggressive, you have to pick out of one of five different funds, right?
Mm-hmm.
These are all conglomerate funds. These aren't specific things that you can pick. You can't pick a specific company to invest in. You have to pick one of the funds. And maybe MicroStrategy's in one of the funds if they are far out selling right on. But I'm thinking one of these funds is going to have some cryptocurrency in it, and I could see somebody, because they're already in it. They're already in this legacy financial system, 401k contributing cycle, right? Continue, because they've been employed for 10, 20 years or whatever it is, right? And they're contributing to this thing all this time. Well, now one of the funds offers some cryptocurrency. I could see somebody also selecting that.
Mm. Well, and the reason I would say own MicroStrategy instead of the ETF. Mm-hmm. So MicroStrategy has this brilliant plan, because since everyone's using stocks as a form of store of wealth, which is not what stocks are supposed to be, but since they're doing it, then all of the stocks are way, way overvalued. Like, they're not valued based on the money they're actually going to be making. They're valued based on what you think you're going to be able to sell them for. So it's what's called a monetary premium. Just like gold and silver are not worth the production power of the metal, of, you know, what circuitry you can build with it. They're worth that because they have a monetary premium.
Right.
Right. So this leverages that monetary premium. So they are getting more money from their stock being more valuable, which it's more valuable than it would be just based on the Bitcoin price, because money, because stocks are that value of money, of that monetary premium of a store of value. So they're using that overvaluation to buy more Bitcoin. So it's just a feedback loop. So the more stocks get overvalued because they're a store of value, as they have been for a very long time now, mm-hmm. the more they get to buy extra Bitcoin.
Right. Yeah, that's brilliant.
And extra Bitcoin is actually valuable.
That's totally brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another example, we were talking in the break of how cryptocurrency, Bitcoin specifically, has been acting as a vacuum cleaner to state-based currency, mm-hmm. not just in the U.S. Like, yep. I mean, we're here, so that's what we talk about the most. But, like, it's happening all over the world. Mm-hmm. State-based currency is getting vacuumed up, hoovered up, if you will, by cryptocurrency. And so now that institutional money is getting thrown at it, and it's like they just made an industrial-sized Kirby vacuum cleaner.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and that is why it's so hard to predict from where it is. Like, how much of our traditional four-year cycle are we going to engage in? Because we suddenly have 10 times the demand than the supply.
Right.
Because the supply is fixed. And right now, it's 6 Bitcoin every 10 minutes. And in about a month, little over a month, it's going to be 3 Bitcoin every 10 minutes. And the demand is 10 times that. So it's really hard to figure out how much of this price action is going to continue.
So between us here tonight, we know that a fraction of Bitcoin is sometimes referred to as a Satoshi.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, what's the exact
100 fraction? Million.
100 millionth?
Yep. There are 100 million Satoshis in every Bitcoin.
That's actually a really small divisible number.
It is.
Right. And so the idea is, and I guess the... I'm surprised, but I guess I was surprised. I'm no longer surprised. I was surprised at how many people don't get that. Don't get that, like, yeah, there's, you don't have to own one whole Bitcoin.
Right.
You can own a piece of one. You can own $20 worth or $100 worth. Or
that's one thing I miss about, you know, this whole idea of owning Bitcoin is back in the good old days, I want to say, we could send Bitcoin dust, if you will.
Oh, yeah.
Microtransactions.
Yeah.
But now, the network doesn't scale anymore, so you can't send microtransactions.
Well, and you have to actually scale the technology in order to get back to being able to send microtransactions. Like, you can do that on the Lightning Network. You can do that on Nostr, which is the social media that's based on Bitcoin. Yeah, they have what's called sending zaps. So you send these, you know, tiny little, just a few Satoshis to someone for like, hey, I liked your comment. Here's, you know, a tenth of a penny.
Yeah.
Ooh, a whole tenth of a penny.
Yeah. Well, microtransactions, from an artist's standpoint, microtransactions were supposed to revolutionize that of the audio artist and, like, you know, being able to pay you for, like, spins on, mm-hmm. you know, websites and, you know, well, that type of thing.
And they will, as soon as we get the regulatory clarity to figure out how to build a payments network that they will stop trying to extort money from and say, okay, we already gave you your pound of flesh for this. Now let us just pay each other. Once we're allowed to do that, once we have the regulatory clarity, then we can get to the point where we're sending these tiny, tiny bits of value and revolutionizing the entire human marketplace. But we can't do that until they say, okay, it is exactly 12 ounces of flesh that we need
right.
from you.
Yeah, yeah. So, all that to say,
These are interesting times we live in right
now.
Oh,
yeah. Man.
Oh, definitely. It's
fascinating. Oh, the most.
And, like, I think, like, I feel like we've just sort of been in this, like, lull for a little while. And so now that, you know, crypto's taken off again, you know, there's a little more excitement in the news surrounding that particular industry. But I think the speed at which new technologies are going to make themselves available to us is going to increase very quickly. We've already gotten to a point where 3D printing is more than viable for creating, manufacturing, any type of physical good. If we can combine that with the nimbleness of cryptocurrency, I mean, it's not even going to matter, right? Somebody's going to invent something, and instead of needing to, like, oh, let me make a prototype and let me test it and let me blah, 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 all of a sudden, like, they're going to make it, they'll test it themselves, and then you'll just download a file and print it out at home.
Yeah.
Like, that's going to happen.
Yeah. We stand on a razor's edge between Bitcoin heaven and nuclear hell. And it's up to you, listener. What are you buying? What are you spending? What are you earning?
We are out of time. Thank you to all of our callers. Thank you, Riley, for sitting in for Mark Edge tonight.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you, Peakless, for actually wearing that crown of shame for the entire episode. We appreciate all of you. If you missed any part of tonight's program, visit freetalklive.com. Find the archives under resources. Thanks and peace.
If you want to move to the free state and you're looking for some real estate, well, I know a guy who's really great. It's the Realtor Mark Warden.
Now you can learn more about the awesome things happening here in New Hampshire in our march toward liberty in our lifetime. Our friends at Porcupine Real Estate are hosting a series of webinars to educate you on the expanded freedoms enjoyed by New Hampshire citizens. Reserve your seat today at move.freetalklive.com. Topics include gun freedom, medical freedom, and political freedom victories. They also have a couple on best practices for moving to the free state and finding housing. These webinars are super helpful and free to attend once you've registered at move.freetalklive.com. Visit their YouTube channel, Porcupine Real Estate, for videos from past presentations and sign up for upcoming webinars for free at move.freetalklive.com.
PorcupineRealEstate.com.